KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial continues to unfold, and frankly, the reactions are sort of more interesting than the trial at this point, because it is perfectly obvious that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. That was obvious from the time the footage came out. I waited to sort of make a final judgment on it until the prosecution brought forth its case, because sometimes you get information that you didn't have before. It turns out the prosecution not only didn't have any information, the prosecution witnesses turned into defense witnesses. But it doesn't matter. People are very invested in this particular case. And when you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why are people in the media so invested in this particular case? And you understand why they were invested in the Brett Kavanaugh case. Because there we were talking about a conservative justice being added to the Supreme Court and shifting the balance of the court from 5-4 Republican appointees to 6-3 Republican appointees. You understand why they were so entranced with the Christine Blasey Ford claims, even though there was no evidence to back them. You even understand why the left gets very involved in trials like George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, even though there was no accusation of racism. At least the races match up with the narrative that the left wanted to tell, which is that black people are routinely mistreated by white cops, even though the evidence does not show that black people are under the knee of American police throughout the nation due to race. Yeah, but you understand why they were pushing that narrative, and you understood that at least the races of the people involved matched up. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense on sort of a pure point of view, because Kyle Rittenhouse is white, and all three of the people he shot were white, and all the people who were burning things that night were white. So that's a lot of white people, right? So what you're talking about is a bunch of people who are burning down Kenosha, Wisconsin, mainly because they were supposedly angry about the shooting of Jacob Blake, who happened to be a career criminal who was shot while holding a knife after refusing to put down the knife after police told him to put down the knife. They'd been called to the scene by his ex-wife, who was accusing him of attempting to rape her in the past and then showing up and trying to get the kids in the here and now. So it's like a bad case. If you're going to pick an example of a controversy that really demonstrates how bad America is, this is a bad one. It's hard to shoehorn it into the racial narrative. And what's really fascinating is the difference in attention that's being paid to, for example, the Arbery trial, this trial versus the Arbery trial, the Rittenhouse trial versus the Arbery trial. The Arbery trial matches up much more closely with the sort of narrative that the left wishes to purvey, right? In that particular case, you have a black man who gets shot to death after he is on an open construction site and then runs away from the open construction site. And some white guys chase him down in the truck. They try to run him off the road. And then finally, they blockade the road. And when he tries to, they're holding guns to try and stop him from running away, even though he wasn't effectively committing a crime. Right? There was no accusation that Arbery had committed a crime by walking around the open construction site. And he tried to push his way through. At one point, there's a struggle for the gun, and somebody shoots him. Right? That one seems to match up much more closely with the narrative that the left would like to push about how all American white people are attempting to gun down all black people, are racially profiling them, etc. But the disparate amount of attention paid to the Arbery trial versus the amount of attention paid to the Rittenhouse trial is really fascinating because, again, one seems to fit the narrative and one really does not so much. So why? Why, you have to ask yourself, why is it that the media are so really just right on when it comes to the Rittenhouse trial, just spotlight, laser focus on the Rittenhouse trial? When it comes to the Arbery case, we'll sort of cover it, kind of, a little bit. And the answer is, I think, that for the left, once there is a narrative that they have established with regard to a particular case, like the Rittenhouse trial, and once that narrative starts to implode, you must be lied to. it's not about trying to convince you that America is racist or terrible. It's that you must be told not to believe your eyes. As the case gets worse for the left becomes more ardent about defending the case. So remember, the original case the left wanted to make with regard to Rittenhouse, that Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. And the reason that he went there that night is because he was a racist who opposed Black Lives Matter. And the fact that all the people he shot were white was sort of irrelevant to the question because those people were protesting alongside Black Lives Matter. So the big narrative was Rittenhouse, giant white supremacist, probably a Trump supporter, really bad white guy. And this bad white guy is juxtaposed to the coalition of the oppressed and their white allies. And so Rittenhouse is bad, and the people that he shot are good. Now, as the facts emerge, and it turns out that all three of the people that Rittenhouse shot attacked him, and that all three had criminal records, and that one was a child molester, and that one of them was literally raising a gun to shoot Kyle Rittenhouse when he was shot, and that the third was bashing Kyle Rittenhouse in the head with a skateboard when he was shot, right? As those facts emerge, you'd imagine that the media might back off. No, that's the whole point. The media cannot back off. The media must double down, because you must show your faith in the narrative. The reason that the fact pattern does not match for the left, that's almost a feature, not a bug. What I mean by that is that when the fact pattern matches their narrative, everybody agrees that the case should go one particular way and there's no disagreement. When there is disagreement, the left jumps all over it because they want to force you to not believe your own eyes. You see this all the time. And so the left will continue to maintain that Michael Brown, who was shot justifiably by a police officer, is in fact a victim of white law enforcement. Like today, they will claim that Michael Brown, who by all of the evidence, witness evidence, forensic evidence, Michael Brown attacked a police officer in a police car, and then he tried to run away, and then when the police officer told him to stop, he charged the police officer and was shot for his trouble. It didn't matter that hands up, don't shoot never happened. It became a core part of the left's narrative. In fact, if you didn't believe the narrative, this meant you were bad. If there were riots in Ferguson, Missouri, over the shooting of a guy who was attacking a police officer, the president of the United States, Barack Obama, would get on national TV and say that people don't make up stories like this, even though the story was literally made up beginning to end by the media and by witnesses who were lying about it at the time, including people who were friends with Michael Brown, right? The Michael Brown case was a big focus of the media. You know what wasn't a big focus of the media? The Walter Scott case. Remember the Walter Scott was a black man who was shot in the back running away from police officers in South Carolina. And the police officer shot him, killed him, and then proceeded to plant a gun on him. That officer ended up going to jail. And he ended up being convicted. That doesn't fit the left-wing narrative, which is the entire system is bad. So they have to pick controversial cases. They have to pick a case in which you or I or anyone else looks at the evidence and says, no, I don't think this fits the narrative. Because everything must fit the narrative. Even if it doesn't fit the narrative, it has to fit the narrative. And if you argue with the narrative, this is just demonstration of the white supremacy of the system. That's why the left is paying attention to the Rittenhouse trial, but not paying attention to the Arbery trial, because there's every possibility in the Arbery trial that based on the available fact pattern, that this is going to go down as manslaughter or murder. It's pretty incredible. It's the same thing with Derek Chauvin, by the way. The Derek Chauvin George Floyd trial, the evidence tended to show, I maintain, the evidence tended to show that George Floyd died of essentially a drug overdose based on his pre-existing medical conditions, and that he was not, in fact, killed by the knee to the neck. Okay, that's what I still believe that Derek Chauvin should not have been convicted, certainly of murder, and probably not of manslaughter. Okay, but the left has to maintain, because I maintain that, the left has to maintain that is evidence that America is broadly writ racist. They look for controversial cases. They don't want clear-cut cases. Clear-cut cases are the enemy of the left. And so they will continue to maintain in the Rittenhouse case that Rittenhouse is guilty, and that if you oppose the notion that Rittenhouse is guilty, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the controversy because these cases are not about the people at the center of the cases. These cases are about you and your reaction. These cases are about how you react to the evidence. If you react by saying, wait, I disagree with the narrative, that's because you are a racist. And even if you're right, you're still a racist. And we'll get to more of this in just one second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station for, you know, like a bathroom break. Well, most of the time, it'll probably be fine. But then there's that one time you come out of the bathroom and your car is gone. So why would you do anything like that? You shouldn't do that with your data either. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data, passwords, financial details, everything that you use, everything that's important to you. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack somebody. Some cheap hardware is needed. Smart 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. So, use ExpressVPN to stop all of this. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And it's super easy to use. You fire up the app, you click one button, and now you are protected. I've been using ExpressVPN for years. You should do the same. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, so let me show you case in point as to the left perspective on the Rittenhouse trial. So there is a piece today at NBCNews.com by Isaac Bailey, professor of public policy at Davidson College and author of Why Didn't We Riot? A Black Man in Trumpland. Yeah, I think you know where this is going. And the piece is called A Sobbing Kyle Rittenhouse Already Won, Even Before His Trial Is Over. If convicted, he'll become a right-wing martyr. If he is freed, it's a message to others like him that prison won't be in their future. And here is what this columnist says. Kyle Rittenhouse, in an unusual move for a defendant, took the witness stand Wednesday. He cried. His defense team then made a motion for a mistrial with prejudice, which means Rittenhouse couldn't be retried. But whatever the court rules, he has already won. He's charged with reckless homicide, intentional homicide, attempted intentional homicide, for shooting three people, killing two of them, who were protesting the police shooting of yet another black man, Jacob Blake, in Kenosha, Wisconsin last summer. The protest followed many George Floyd-inspired ones that erupted across the world calling for police accountability and justice for black lives. White allies like the ones Rittenhouse shot were among the protesters. Rittenhouse has pled not guilty. Okay, so that's the narrative. The narrative is Jacob Blake was shot by evil white cops. Okay, false. He was shot because he is a criminal who refused to end the threat to the officers by putting down the knife that was in his hand. And that's line number one. Two, the protest that erupted was calling for police accountability and justice for black lives. Really, was burning down local businesses really important to that particular thing? Was that the goal, the burning down of the local businesses? Because that's why Rittenhouse was there. It was because of the burning down of local businesses. I noticed he didn't show up at just any old protest in Madison, Wisconsin. He showed up in Kenosha, where people were literally burning car lots. And these are white allies, right, according to this columnist. So if they're white allies, then they are black adjacent. You have to understand that according to the left, the way this works is that if you are a successful black person in the United States and don't buy into the left line, and if you're financially successful and you don't buy into the left line about the evils of America, this means that you are white adjacent. Right, so Winsome Sears is white adjacent over in Virginia. Or Clarence Thomas is white adjacent. Meanwhile, if you are an upper class Tony white liberal who goes out and throws firebombs at cop cars, you are now apparently black adjacent or at least a white ally, according to the left. So, according to this piece on NBC News, if Rittenhouse is convicted, he will likely stop being a right-wing mascot and become a right-wing martyr. If he isn't convicted, he will set a precedent for others to like him to pick up guns they shouldn't have and thrust themselves into the middle of unrest they should avoid, confident in knowing that prison won't be in their future. I love that at no point has anybody discussed the fact that Gage Grosskreutz had a gun that presumably he shouldn't have had, and that people were attempting to beat Kyle Rittenhouse to death, and that one of the people who was shot was grabbing for Rittenhouse's gun and also happened to be a child molester. Like, at no point does any of this match the narrative. But again, the narrative is all that matters. To his supporters and many of his detractors, Rittenhouse isn't a monster. Not really. He was a young, dumb kid hyped up on the Foxification or Fox News effect of American discourses on Black Lives Matter in a country that fetishizes guns for show, for sport, for killing. Not a white supremacist like, say, Dylann Roof. Not really. He wore no hoods, didn't wrap himself in the Confederate flag. He's a patriot who tried to bring calm to chaos because, as Fox News primetime host Tucker Carlson told us at the time of the shooting, the adults around him wouldn't maintain order. He was so nonviolent, police officers greeted him and those like him, fellow guardians of the community, before he killed anyone. He didn't open fire until absolutely necessary. It was self-defense, his supporters have told us outside the courtroom, and his lawyers have argued inside the courtroom. Had criminals not rushed him, had they not provoked him, they would be alive. He would not have been charged. He defended himself, that's all. I mean, look at his red, tear-stained face on the stand, so compelling the judge stopped the trial for 10 minutes to allow Rittenhouse to compose himself. His tears tell the story. He said he was trying to do good to protect this dying nation, and that's the same nonsense claim people have been using throughout the U.S. Right? Here's where this columnist gets to the point. The idea is that if you defend anyone from chaos and disorder, if you defend the system in any way, if you act in self-defense, this means that you are evil. And you're evil on the order of people who stormed the Capitol. You're evil on the order of people who want to end critical race theory. Like, it's all into one big, this is what they do. They spin every little incident into, it's a giant ball of narrative. And predominantly white voters were trying to defend their freedom, so they flocked to an open bigot like Donald Trump and stormed the U.S. Capitol. Angry parents, most of them white, are storming school board meetings, demanding an end to critical race theory lessons to protect white children from feeling guilt. Politicians and local officials have stoked this by framing the teaching of race and books that explore its context as something constituents should defend their communities from. The truth is that too many white Americans probably see themselves in Rittenhouse, afraid of anyone, whether white or of color, who wants to live in a more equitable country, even if some don't want to say so out loud. So this is the narrative. The narrative is that Kyle Rittenhouse is a stand-in for all of white America who's deeply afraid of the intersectional coalition and defending white America against their predations. So many things have pointed to their being scared, as Rittenhouse was described to have been during the protest and in the aftermath of the shooting. Frightened of losing the country their hardworking salt-of-the-earth parents and grandparents built, of becoming a minority among minorities, of being displaced as the de facto right way to be a real patriotic American, of being able just to define what that means. But it wasn't just fear that convinced Rittenhouse that he had a right, a responsibility even, to take a gun into the middle of unrest that didn't directly affect him. It was an entitlement as well. By the way, I love how the moral impetus has shifted here, right? The responsibility here doesn't lie with people not to burn down cities. It lies with you not to go and try and stop people from burning down cities. Really solid stuff. But again, this is why the left is so invested in this, because they have basically wrapped this up into a broad scale narrative that Kyle Rittenhouse, as always, is a microcosm of white America generally. And because he wished to defend private property from people who were burning it down, this means that he was standing against the march of progress in the United States. This is why, regardless of the verdict, says this columnist for NBC News, it's up to the rest of us to guarantee different outcomes. We need to make sure the disparity in who is afforded life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is honestly and continually discussed, and see to it that those tenets of American democracy are extended to those who have historically been left out. If you care about saving this democracy from the Kyle Rittenhouses of the world, you shouldn't look to a judge and jury. Kyle Rittenhouse is a threat to democracy, you see. Even if he acted in self-defense, it was a threat to democracy. In fact, because he acted in self-defense, it was a threat to democracy, because any white person who acts in self-defense is actually just a reactionary attempting to defend from that march of progress. This is the left-wing narrative, and this is why the left is so invested in this case, deeply invested in this case. And they'll come up with any excuse why Rittenhouse should not be acquitted, because they're so invested in the case, and explicitly because Rittenhouse should not be convicted. Rittenhouse should be convicted because society demands that Rittenhouse be convicted. The circumstances of the case, cutting in favor of Rittenhouse, that's actually just a religious demand on you, right? You should have faith in the woke narrative. Regardless of the facts, you have to take that leap of faith and embrace it. The more you look at the evidence, and the more you think maybe Rittenhouse should get off, the more you are betraying, you are a heretic, you are betraying the narrative. Alrighty, coming up, the media, their narrative has fallen apart here, but they must prop up the narrative at any cost. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Maybe this is you too. A lot of people do not like their health plan right now, and they're worried they're stuck with it. One that costs too much or doesn't meet their needs, or for whatever reason, they're just not happy with it. If that is you, some great news. There really is another choice. It's called MediShare, and it's such a great option, especially if you're self-employed, changing jobs, or part of the gig economy. Here's what you get when you switch to MediShare. First, huge savings. The typical family saves $500 a month. You also get a massive doctor network. You can just use the doctor of your choice, or MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. And you get to be part of something you can believe in. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. No wonder MediShare gets double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So no, you are not stuck. You've got a great alternative. Call now. 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are trying to prop up the case against Rittenhouse at any cost. And that means giving Gage Grosskreutz, the guy who was shot while trying to shoot Kyle Rittenhouse, a second bite at the apple. See, in his testimony, he basically said that Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. The media is like, no. We need you to say something different. Come on, Good Morning America. So on the stand, he admitted that Rittenhouse did not shoot him until he removed the gun from his holster and started to approach Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, now he's on Good Morning America. Now he's on Good Morning America talking about his view of Kyle Rittenhouse.
And what was your reaction to him breaking down and crying on the stand?
To me, it seemed like a child who had just gotten caught doing something that he wasn't supposed to. More upset that he was caught and less upset about what he had done and what he had taken and the numerous lives that he affected.
Okay, you literally testified in open court that he did not shoot you until you tried to take a gun out and shoot him. And now you're being given time on Good Morning America to revise your statement and say that really this is about how Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty and went to kill that night. And the narrative must be maintained at all costs. You have Joy Behar saying that Kyle Rittenhouse crying was some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Well, I mean, she has an IMDb, and let me just say, Joy Behar is no great shakes. Here she was.
From what I'm gleaning from this case, the guy goes across state lines with an AR-15 with his mother and some other idiot in the car to defend himself against what? They're having a protest in another state, and he takes it upon himself to go there, you know, and then he says it's self-defense. No. And that acting job of the crying, I can't even look at it.
Well, this is
that is one of the worst acting jobs I've ever seen.
And then she gets, they start to applaud, and then she, it gets in her small pea brain that this is a popular point of view, and so she just repeats it. Well, look at that acting job. This is the takeaway. The takeaway is that Kyle Rittenhouse is evil. And if you don't believe that Kyle Rittenhouse is evil, and you believe that the police should have been there doing the job instead, even if you believe all that, that does not mean that he didn't act in self-defense. She just dismisses the self-defense. Because again, the idea is that if you went across state lines to defend private property, this is the evil act. Understand that she thinks that people should be prosecuted for going and defending private property. That's really at the root of this. If you stand up in any way to the Black Lives Matter riots that happened last year, you are bad. Period. Even if you didn't shoot anybody. And so whatever happens afterward really is on you. Now, listen, the prosecution continues to collapse in on itself like a dying star. It's really impressive. So yesterday, for example, the prosecutor tried to establish the bias of a witness, Drew Hernandez, who shot the footage. I don't know how this would in any way discredit the footage. Right? The footage that was available is footage that is available. It is on tape. That's the beautiful thing about footage. But here's the prosecutor trying to discredit the witness by suggesting that the witness has a personal bias. The answer to this would be normally, so the hell what?
Your videos that you have captured of these incidents that you call riots, they're very slanted against the people who are rioting. You characterize them as Antifa, Black Lives Matter, rioters. correct?
Because they are rioting in the footage, yes, absolutely.
Do you, as you sit here today, do you personally know the defendant?
No.
But yet you call him by his first name?
That's his legal name. What else am I supposed to call him?
We're, ignore the footage. Again, so much of this is ignore what your own eyes tell you and just pay attention to what I'm telling you. Alrighty, coming up, when the facts of the case don't fit your narrative, you have to blame somebody. The judge is the person to blame today. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it is my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media have come up with the true culprit in this whole Rittenhouse trial. It's the judge. As I said yesterday, the media have already turned this into the judge is bad. It's the judge's fault. It's not our fault for lying to you. And they did. They lied to you for a year. And this happened last year. They've been lying to you for a year about what exactly happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's been available on tape. They've been fibbing about it. In some cases, not even fibbing, calling him a domestic terrorist and a white supremacist and a person who went there to kill that night. And all of that's falling apart on them. So now it's the judge's bad. Who, by the way, the judge is normally predisposed to defendants, apparently, according to people who have practiced in front of him. Now, normally, that's something that I thought Democrats were in favor of, right? The rights of the accused were a thing that Democrats were big in favor of. If you had to sort of break down politics normally, people who are pro-prosecution, people who are pro-defense, typically, it sort of lines up right-left. Right? If you're right-wing, you tend to be more pro-prosecution generally. And if you're left-wing, you tend to be more pro-defense generally. Okay, well, you're supposed to follow the facts of the case in any case, but the normal predisposition is that way. Okay, so when it comes to a judge, right, it's usually been conservatives who are like, yeah, we want the hanging judge. And then you've got liberals who are like, no, we want the judge who's going to pat everybody on the back and tell them to go get a social worker, right? So, well, this is the social worker judge. This is the judge who's like, we would like for you to make sure that all the defendants are treated well. And now the left is like, this guy's a jerk. This guy's the worst. So they had some outside indicators that he is the worst. What are the outside indicators that he is the worst? So he made a joke about the supply chain crisis before break yesterday. He made a joke about how he was having Asian food, and he hoped that the food had not been held up at the port of Long Beach. But he said the word Asian, which means that he's a racist, which would impact this case because there are so many Asians involved. Or something. Here was the judge saying a super not racist thing and then being accused of being a racist.
Let's hope for 1 o'clock. I don't know. Hope the Asian food isn't coming. Isn't on one of those boats in Long Beach Harbor.
I don't understand how it's even remotely supposed to be racist. I'm sorry, I just don't. There's Asian food? Or is he saying that the food that is from Asia might be held up in Long Beach because he's making a joke about the shipping supply crisis? It seems like not an anti-Asian joke. It seems more like he's eating the Asian. It seems like he's mainly criticizing the port of Long Beach in that joke. The entire media goes, oh my God, he's a racist. He's a racist. He's a brutal, terrible racist. I mean, how dare he? I noticed that yesterday Joe Biden called someone a Negro. Like, that's an actual thing that Joe Biden did yesterday. Now, he did it by accident, but I can just promise you that if a Republican or if this judge had used the kind of language that Joe Biden used yesterday, then the media would be going insane. I have a question. What's worse, just on sort of a pure level, just a pure kind of like root racist level, a judge saying, I hope that Asian food gets delivered today because there's a shipping crisis in L.A., or the president of the United States describing Satchel Paige as a Negro by accident? Which is worse? Here is Joe Biden doing that yesterday.
You know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros, into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
Okay, so what's funny, like, listen, I'll give Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt there. I mean, I don't even think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think pretty clearly Joe Biden just loses his train of thought, and what he meant to say is that great pitcher in the Negro Leagues. Right? By the way, by federal law, you're not allowed to use the word Negro in legislation, for example. So that's not a great look there for Joe Biden, but these guys are approximately the same age, right? Joe Biden is 78 years old. The judge in this particular case, Bruce Schrader, I believe that I know he's up there as well. He's been practicing for like 50 years, and he's 75, and he's about the same age as Joe Biden. But the idea is that he is a racist and Joe Biden is not a racist. And the answer is because Joe Biden is a leftist and this judge is not giving the left what it wants in this particular case. Then something even worse happened to the judge, demonstrating that he's a super duper giant racist who's horrible and racist. During the middle of the trial, his cell phone rang. His ringtone, that racist anthem directly from the slaveholding South, God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood.
If the court makes a finding that the actions that I had talked about were done in bad faith.
Okay, and the media were like, oh my God, oh my God, he's got God Bless the USA on his phone. That probably means he's please, guys, keep going down this path. Seriously. I would love for you to keep going down the path where if anybody likes God Bless the USA, this means they shouldn't be a judge and they're racist. Really, just go full anti-American. Seriously. God Bless the USA. Wow, how dare he? How dare he? But this is exactly what you get. You get Eli Mistal over on MSNBC saying, clearly, this is a racist, biased judge.
We have as a judge who, from my perspective, has prejudged the trial in favor of Rittenhouse and has decided, again, even at the pretrial stage, to use every bit of his power to put his thumb on the scale towards Rittenhouse's side. That's what Schrader is. He has made a series of decisions. Each one perhaps may be individually defensible, but in totality lead to the impression of a biased, racist judge with his Trump rally cell phone that is trying to get Rittenhouse a walk.
Okay, my favorite thing there is where he says that each one of the decisions the judge is making is defensible, but in totality, he's a giant racist who loves Trump. Interesting take. Interesting take. Then you get Maya Wiley, the rejected candidate for mayor of New York, who says, yeah, the Rittenhouse trial judge, he seems predisposed to the defense. Oh, is that what's happening here, or is it possible that maybe the defense just has a better case?
This judge, you know, from the outside looking in, and I haven't been inside that courtroom, but certainly seems to be predisposed in some ways to the defense. And his level of anger and response in some instances, allowing the defense to use words like mobs and rioters when the prosecution cannot use words like victims, you know, for the people who are killed and harmed in this case. Those are the kinds of things. It's not a balanced approach.
Okay, I have a question. It's not a balanced approach. You can't call them victims because the entire case is about whether they're victims. The question as to whether it was self-defense or not is not about whether they were rioters. It could be not self-defense if they were rioters, right? If he had just gone out there with his AR and he just started shooting rioters in the street, it wouldn't matter if they were rioters or not. It could be both rioters and victims. These are not mutually exclusive. But apparently, in order to be not racist or something, you have to say that these rioters were not rioters, and also you have to say that they were victims. That is the definition of prejudging the case. And finally, we have Bree Newsom Bass, who is an anti-racism activist, Bree Newsom. And she, of course, says that the judge is predisposed toward not just the defense, toward white supremacy.
So we know that, I mean, even apart from the long history of collaboration between police forces, white supremacist organizations, and white militias, we have a very recent history of this as well. We've had situations where police kill someone, there is protesting, and then in addition to the police presence in the street, which is a problem, we have white militia groups showing up, white supremacist organizations showing up. The history of judges who are sympathetic to white supremacists has a very long history as well.
Oh, so the judge is a white supremacist now. My favorite part of that is where she just sort of slips in that the cops being in the community is bad. So we can't have cops defending the community, and you can't have citizens defending the community. So everybody's just supposed to burn it down. Now on to the Arbery case. So the amount of attention being paid to the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, or the alleged murder of Ahmaud Arbery, is wildly disproportionate to the amount of attention that's being paid to the Rittenhouse trial, which is quite fascinating. Now, I've, as I always do, withheld judgments on this case until I see the full evidence. So here's what we know about the Arbery case. And it really shouldn't be called the Arbery case. It really, typically, because the Rittenhouse trial is named after the person who's being tried, or the Chauvin trial is being named after the defendant, Derek Chauvin. In this case, the real issue, the trial really should be named after the people who are being prosecuted. in this particular case. But here is what the New York Times says. The graphic footage of the killing of Ahmaud Arbery is not the only crucial video evidence in the trial of the three men accused of murdering him. On Thursday, a jury in Brunswick, Georgia, was shown surveillance camera footage that depicts Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, making several visits to the same partially constructed home at 220 Satya Drive in the months before he died. In each instance, Mr. Arbery, an avid jogger, is in shorts. He looks around the house and leaves. The last video, recorded in the early afternoon of February 23, 2020, shows Arbery visiting the home minutes before he was chased by the three white defendants who have said they suspected him of a series of break-ins in the neighborhood. That chase ended with Arbery being fatally shot by one of the men in the middle of a nearby suburban street. Jurors on Thursday were also shown a videotaped deposition of the home's owner, Larry English. He described his concerns about the man who kept showing up in the house he was building and the items he suspected had been stolen from him. He described his calls to the police, alerting them to the man's presence. He said he had texted his concerns about the man, as well as two other trespassers, to a neighbor in the Satya Shores subdivision, which defense lawyers said was on the edge over a wave of property crime. The videos and Mr. English's response to them are likely to be central to the case of whether the defendants had a legal right to chase Arbery. So what happened in this particular case is that the people in the nearby area got a call that Arbery was hanging out at this house. Again, it was a construction site, and apparently some stuff had been stolen from the house in the past. And he took off running down the street. They chased him in the car, as I mentioned. They were in a couple of trucks. They tried to run him off the road. Then they tried to roadblock him. He tried to run around the roadblock. One of the people was holding a shotgun, and actually a couple of people were holding guns. And he went for the gun of one of the guys who was blocking the road, and in the struggle over the gun, that guy shot him. Okay, so the question is whether that is self-defense or not. And that really relies not on the action in the moment. It relies on whether they were justified in trying to arrest him in the first place, if they were trying to arrest him, or whether they were justified in roadblocking him in the first place. Okay, so that is a secondary legal issue. Okay, the primary legal issue here is whether they were justified. Because once there's a struggle over the gun and then somebody shoots somebody else, a self-defense claim comes into play. The question is whether you were allowed to be out there in the first place in this particular case. And when I say out there, I mean like actually trying to stop somebody from running away. Mr. English, a general contractor who lives in Douglas, Georgia, about 90 minutes from Brunswick, suffers from serious health issues. He did not give his testimony in person. During his deposition, English described the numerous times that video of Arbery appeared on security cameras around the property. The footage was sent to his cell phone. In some cases, he called the Glynn County Police Department asking that an officer go to the house to check things out. Although English was concerned about the theft, the videos never showed Arbery taking anything from the property. At one point, English, who was monitoring the situation from afar, exchanged text messages with a man named Diego Perez, who lived near the house. English sent Perez video footage of Arbery on the property, as well as footage of another man and woman who were detected at the house one night. Notably, English says he never shared directly with the three defendants his concerns that Arbery had been on his property. In fact, he barely knew two of the defendants, Travis McMichael, the man who shot Arbery, or his father, Gregory McMichael, whom he said he had met only briefly. He said he had never met the third defendant, William Bryan. Linda Dinikowski, the lead prosecutor, may use such details to buttress her argument that the defendants rushed into action based on flawed assumptions and driveway decisions, but without immediate knowledge that a crime had occurred. Dinikowski's language echoes that found in what was Georgia's citizens' arrest law at the time, which stated that a private person could arrest someone if an offense was committed in their presence or within their immediate knowledge. In opening statements for the defense, Robert Rubin, a lawyer for Travis McMichael, brought attention to another aspect of the law, which stated that if someone believed that another person had committed a felony, and if that person was escaping or trying to escape, it was legal to try to arrest the fleeing person if the pursuer harbored reasonable and probable grounds of suspicion. Rubin contends that English allowed suspicion to spread in the neighborhood by sharing the videos of Arbery's unauthorized entries with Perez and the police, and by letting it be known that some property had in fact been stolen from his boat. Rubin said of the defendants, "We're not contending a crime was committed in their presence, but there was probable cause to believe a felony had been committed, and this man was attempting to escape or flee." Okay, so this is the key legal issue at this time. Each of the defendants in the case has been indicted on 9 counts, including malice murder, which involves showing that a killing was carried out with an abandoned and malignant heart. Apparently, prosecutors were laying the groundwork for that charge by eliciting testimony from police officers that showed some of the harsh language Gregory McMichael used to describe Arbery shortly after he was killed, including referring to him with a vulgar insult. Niyama Rahmani, a former federal prosecutor, pointed out that the men were also charged with felony murder, which applies when a death is caused in the course of committing another felony, irrespective of malice. Also, they are claiming that this is false imprisonment. So in other words, if they didn't have a probable cause to stop the guy, then they couldn't actually stop the guy. So this is, you know, a case that should theoretically been should be like front page news, right? Because it does tend to at least fit the narrative or raise the issues that the left likes to talk about a lot. Racial profiling. There's a difference in race between the men who shot Arbery and Arbery. And this has become a pretty racially fraught trial right from the get-go. Al Sharpton showed up at the trial. Benjamin Crump, who lies about the situations of a wide variety of these situations, showed up in the courtroom as well. And the defense attorney asked if Sharpton could be removed from the room. At the very least, he said we shouldn't have activists in the room at all. But he used some pretty fired up language about it that is going to be very controversial.
Obviously, there's only so many pastors they can have. And if their pastor's Al Sharpton right now, that's fine. But then that's it. We don't want any more black pastors coming in here. Or other Jesse Jackson, whoever was in here earlier this week, sitting with the victim's family, trying to influence a jury in this case. I think the court can understand my concern about bringing people in who really don't have any ties to this case other than political interests.
Okay, so this became very controversial because he said black pastors. The case he's actually making here is that the pastors who are showing up are not actual family pastors. They're just very, very famous people who are showing up to sit with the family in order to intimidate the jury. And so we'll see if the media starts to catch on to this trial at all. But here's the thing. Most people are withholding judgment. In the Rittenhouse case, a lot of people weren't because the tape was out there and because the circumstances were fairly clear from the get-go. This one has not polarized along political lines, sort of like the Walter Scott case, right? People are sort of waiting to see what happens in the testimonies. The left can't use it. The left only likes picking cases where they are actually fairly often in the wrong. They like those cases because those cases demonstrate your fealty. That's what that's about. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to a little bit of foreign policy. So what would you say if I told you that a bunch of terrorists just stormed a U.S. embassy and no one cared? Because that actually is what's happening. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is.
And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's always fun in games when terrorists storm a U.S. embassy and nobody apparently cares. It's fascinating how things that if they'd happened under the Trump administration would be front page news for months. They last for a little while and then they're gone. So as you know, Afghanistan is still a thing that is happening. There are still Americans stuck in Afghanistan. There are still tens of thousands of American of SID holders in Afghanistan. And the place is a hellhole backwater. Probably millions of people will starve to death over the course of the next couple of years. So things are great there. Also, Houthi rebels have now stormed the American embassy in Yemen and taken hostages, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Now, you've seen this reported pretty much nowhere, because apparently we're not supposed to care. The Houthi rebels are a gang of Shia militiamen who are backed by the Iranian government. They are terrorists. The Biden administration, because it was trying to make nice with the Iranians, came into office and took them off the terror list. They now took over the American embassy in Yemen, and now they've taken hostages. According to the State Department, the majority of the detained have been released, but the Houthis continue to detain additional Yemeni employees of the embassy. This is one of the ways that Islamic terror groups tend to target American allies. They'll say, oh, well, the Americans, they can go. But if you work with the Americans, we are going to shoot you and we are going to shoot your families. If you think that has no impact on American interests, I don't know what you are smoking. Houthi fighters reportedly took the compound on Wednesday, demanding large quantities of equipment and materials for the Middle East Media Research Institute. Yemen has been embroiled in a brutal civil war between the Houthi rebels, who are backed by the Iranians, and the standing Yemeni government, which has the support of Saudi Arabia. As you remember, Joe Biden removed the foreign terrorist organization designation placed on the Houthis by the Trump administration. The designation had cut the Houthis off from financial support. And Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, called the decision a recognition of the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen. That meant that people could start supporting the Houthis again. They promptly have taken over the American embassy in Yemen. So that apparently is not worthy of coverage at this point, and because obviously everything Biden does is great. And speaking of foreign policy and history, I just have to make a quick side point here. So Nicole Hannah-Jones, who teaches history to your children via the 1619 Project, which has now been mainlined into hundreds of institutions across the United States, backed by the New York Times, backed by school boards across the country, the 1619 Project is a pack of lies about how every institution in the United States was founded in sin and slavery and thus must be torn to the ground. It's incredible that this woman is considered some sort of historian when she doesn't know anything. She is just an idiot. I'm sorry, she doesn't know things, like basic things. So yesterday, for example, she had tweeted out about the dropping of the A-bomb, and she suggested that the dropping of the A-bomb was deeply wrong, and you should be ashamed of America for the dropping of the A-bomb. Okay, now that's a fairly common perspective on the left, is that the dropping of the A-bomb was bad. In my personal opinion, the dropping of the A-bomb was necessary because if it had not happened, the Japanese government was not going to surrender. They were going to make their final stand on the island of Japan proper, and that would have cost the lives of maybe a million Americans. It was going to be very, very ugly. By internal documentation inside the Japanese imperial regime at the time, they had no intention of actually surrendering until the A-bomb was dropped, at which point their calculus changed pretty damn quickly. Okay, but even the people who make the argument that the United States should not have dropped the A-bomb basically make the following two arguments. One, that the United States wouldn't have had to do that, that Japan would have surrendered anyway. And that, two, the real reason that the United States dropped the A-bomb was not because they wanted to get Japan to surrender, but because they wanted to intimidate the Soviets. Because they knew that the Soviets were very aggressive, and they were pushing very hard in Southeast Asia. And so in order to try and deter the Soviets from getting aggressive at the end of World War II, we dropped the A-bomb on Japan, right? That is the revisionist historian take. It's not really supported by the evidence, but that's at least what the take is. Okay. Nicole Hannah-Jones is such an idiot that she doesn't even know what the take is. So she tweeted out yesterday, "You're the one who poorly understands history. They dropped the bomb when they knew surrender was coming because they'd spent all this money developing it and to prove it was worth it. Propaganda is not history, my friend." Okay, first of all, propaganda is not history coming from Nicole Hannah-Jones is just the funniest thing in the entire world, because all she does all day is create propaganda that is not history. But What's even more incredible is that she is actually making the argument. I can't wait to see the footnotes on this. The argument that the reason the United States dropped the A-bomb was to prove that it was money well spent. Yes, that's right. We eviscerated 50,000 people just to prove that we hadn't wasted money on Robert Oppenheimer. Solid take there, Nicole Hannah-Jones. This woman is teaching your kids history. That's exactly what – that. First of all, we know the federal government is meticulous about ensuring that you know your dollars are well spent. Second of all, when we have to ensure the dollars are well spent, we just bomb people. We just drop nuclear weapons on folks. What an idiot she is. I mean, truly a full-scale moron. And the fact that so many people treat her as an intellectual is beyond me. Between her and Ibram X. Kendi, the man, the combined wattage from that IQ pair might be able to toast a piece of bread lightly, like very lightly, like wouldn't be even hot enough to melt the butter. That's, wow, geniuses. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden's approval rating continues to plummet. Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
The Rasmussen Report daily presidential tracking poll shows that 42% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Biden's job performance. 57% disapprove. The latest figures include 21% who strongly approve of the job Mr. Biden is doing and 49% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval rating of minus 28. At this point in his presidency, President Trump had an approval rating of 44% ahead of where President Biden is today. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Kremlin rebuffing allegations that a major buildup of Russian troops near Ukraine reflects Moscow's aggressive intentions. A spokesman at the Kremlin is sharply dismissing media reports alleging that Moscow has intentions to, quote, invade Ukraine. Also at townhall.com, President Biden and his Chinese counterpart holding their much-anticipated virtual summit Monday evening.
The two global leaders are looking to dial back tensions after a rough start to the U.S.-China relationship since Mr. Biden took office.
The two leaders will discuss ways to responsibly manage the competition between the United States and the PRC, as well as ways to work together where our interests align.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration believes in competition, but also diplomacy. Officials are setting low expectations for the video call. They say no major announcements are expected to come from the meeting. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Uncle Sam telling nursing homes open the doors wide to visitors, easing many remaining pandemic restrictions, while urging residents, families, and staff to keep their guard up against any outbreaks. Facilities will no longer be able to limit the frequency and length of visits or required advanced scheduling. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Democratic sweep officially in place. We are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A+ BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio. President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. He's pushed for a massive tax increase, and his $2 trillion infrastructure plan is a $2 trillion tax hike on American employers. Job Creators Network works hard to fight these attacks, and they're looking for a few good men and women to join their Small Business Advocacy and Advisor Program. They will prepare you to be a leader for small businesses in your community, your state, and the country you love. If you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com now. That's joinjcn. They need you. America needs you.
Police in Saudi Arabia have stopped an attempt to smuggle 2.3 million Captagon pills into that country.
The spread of Captagon in Saudi Arabia and the Gulf is one of the offshoots of the war in Syria. It's mainly manufactured. It's been used by fighters on the battlefield. Now it's a huge illegal business with its tentacles in Lebanon and Jordan too. Saudi customs agents are on the alert for its illicit arrival at all border crossings around the country. The drugs have been found in shipments of fruit and vegetables. One find of 5 million pills stuffed in pomegranates led to a ban on such imports from Lebanon. The economic collapse there and in Syria has only intensified the trade in the drug.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher. Police continue to investigate a concert last week in Houston that left 9 people dead and dozens more hurt. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Sponsors are being asked to defend their support for the Beijing Winter Olympics.
Human Rights Watch wants them to explain why they remain largely silent about alleged human rights abuses in China, with the games opening there in just under 3 months. The rights group reached out to the International Olympic Committee's so-called top sponsors and leading broadcast rights holder NBC almost 6 months ago and received few responses. They ask sponsors who pay billions of dollars to the IOC to be aware of the rights climate in China and to scrutinize supply chains and other operations. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A court in military-ruled Myanmar has sentenced U.S. journalist Danny Fenster to 11 years in prison after finding him guilty on a number of charges, including incitement for allegedly spreading false information. Fenster was also found guilty of contacting illegal organizations. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, it is always worthy of note when a prominent figure stands up and says no to the cancel mob. We need more people to stand up and refuse to be canceled in this society. And increasingly, we're starting to see that, right? So Dave Chappelle refused to be canceled by the 7 trans advocates over at Netflix. The cancellation efforts continue, by the way. According to Politico, at the Duke Ellington School of Arts in Georgetown, the students refused Dave Chappelle's money. The high school planned a fundraiser with his famed alum for November 23rd, but quietly canceled the event due to an uproar over the remarks that he made in his Netflix special, The Closer. Apparently, many of their classmates identified as LGBTQIA2A greater than sign star little caret percentage sign dollar sign hashtag. Hey, they all identified as that. So the students were uncomfortable supporting Dave Chappelle, even though he'd given a bunch of money to the school. He gave $100,000 to the school, gave it one of his Emmy Awards in 2017, delivered a commencement address for the school, but he also says that men exist and women exist. And so that means that his old high school is angry with him and won't take his money anymore. But Chappelle is standing up to that. Dave Portnoy is another person who is standing up to this. Now, the story about Dave Portnoy is that there is an outlet called Business Insider, and they dedicated 8.5 months. There's a reporter named Julia Black who dedicated 8.5 months to tracking down people who had had sex with Dave Portnoy, and then trying to gin up an article suggesting that Dave Portnoy abuses women against their consent. Right, that is the gist of the article. The article's headline is, quote, "I was literally screaming in pain. Young women say they met Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy for sex, and it turned violent and humiliating." Now, nowhere in the article is there an allegation of rape. Nowhere in the article is there an allegation that they asked Portnoy to stop doing something and he continued to do it. Okay, so basically what this story seems to amount to is women who are talking to her. The reporter, by the way, said that she was originally writing the article about Dave Portnoy's business strategy, because this is what reporters do. They start off talking business strategy, and then they wildly veer off into the sex lives of the people that they are covering. Or alternatively, that's not true, and she was just trying to track down anyone who had sex with Dave Portnoy. Because let's face it, Dave Portnoy, when it comes to his personal life, He does not live his life the way that I would live my life. Let's just put it that way. On a moral level, I just think that it is a bad idea to run around banging 19-year-old Instagram models. I just think that that is a bad way to live your life. But that's not really the issue here. The issue here is why exactly the media have determined that it is bad to go around spending your life banging 19-year-old Instagram models when this is literally what Leonardo DiCaprio does, and they think he's great. Like, the way that the left works is that every single person is who is of the left can be as sexually profligate as they want to be. In fact, you are rewarded for being sexually profligate if you are on the left. If you are a marriage-abiding, standards-keeping, solid family man on the left, you are less worthy of emulation and celebration by the left than if you nail everything in sight, of all genders and inanimate objects. Right? This makes you a hero on the left. So, if you're not on the left and you do this, however, the standard radically shifts. And the standard shifts just randomly. Like, the left will just go after, and every so often, they'll sort of pick somebody and just smack him for no reason, just to demonstrate they can change the rules at any time. So remember a few years ago in the middle of Me Too, there was a big story about Aziz Ansari, who went on a date with a woman, took her home, they had sex twice, and then afterward, they were like going at it a third time, and she was like, I don't like this. He's like, okay, bye. She left, he didn't call again. That was somehow a story. He went on a special and quasi-apologized for it, as though he had done something deeply wrong. Now, I think that he had done something wrong because I'm a traditional moralist. But if you're not a traditional moralist and all you care about is the value of consent as opposed to, you know, the holiness of marriage and the soulful nature of sexual activity with somebody that you actually love as opposed to just banging it out, right? If you're just somebody who doesn't care about any of that, I don't know how you were angry at Aziz Ansari. Okay, but they went after Aziz Ansari anyway because every so often the left has to find somebody to just whap in the back of the head so they can say, oh, well, okay, well, you know, we are in control. So if you didn't even cross us this time, but as a warning to the others, we're just going to show that we can just punch you right in the sack and everything because we rule the roost. Okay, so there are no standards for the left, which means that Dave Portnoy is now bad for engaging in precisely the behavior that the left celebrates because sex is basically just a biological function to the left that should be celebrated anywhere and everywhere it occurs under all circumstances. It is not a question of why. It is not a question of the person you are having sex with. It is just a question of who wants to get their rocks off at what time. And did anybody say no? Those are the only issues that should matter to the left, unless they're busy making an example of somebody for no reason just to demonstrate their power. All right, more on this in just one moment. First, this holiday season, deck the halls, walls, windows, and doors with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. I'm sure we all know about the Ring Video Doorbell by now, but did you know that Ring makes an award-winning alarm as well? Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole-home security system you can easily install yourself. So, whether you're running across town or across the country this busy season, you and your loved ones can rest easy knowing your home is protected. And it's more than just security. Ring Alarm protects your home from flood, freeze, and fire as well. Plus, it's much cheaper than the other companies. For what they charge for 1 month, we can get an entire year of Ring Alarm with professional monitoring. Right now, for the best deals of the year on Ring Alarm, go to ring.com/Ben. I love my Ring Alarm. So, the other day, for example, my son, he was just missing. Like, I looked around, and he had been sitting there 1 second before. He's 5. And I was just like, I don't know where he just went. So, I had a piece of good news. My phone was next to me. I picked it up, checked out that Ring Alarm app, and there he was, doing something that he probably shouldn't have been doing. And I was able to stop him in time. So, life saved. This holiday season, deck the halls, walls, windows, and doors with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben. Get a great deal on a Ring Alarm security kit today. That's ring.com/Ben. Okay, so, Business Insider runs this story. And here's the story. Quote, in the summer of 2020, Madison sent Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy a direct message on Instagram complimenting his famous one-bite pizza reviews. Sick pizza reviews, she wrote. Thanks, fly bitch, Portnoy responded. She was a 20-year-old college student at the time, Portnoy a 43-year-old multimillionaire. The conversation soon moved to Snapchat and text, where it quickly turned to the topic of sex. Well, there's a shock. He sent her graphic videos of other women he'd slept with, according to Madison, and in messages reviewed by Insider, he pressed her to tell him about her sexual fantasies. And she wrote, I mean, actually, this one's kind of common, like a rape fantasy where I don't have any control of what's going on. You and I are going to get along so well, he responded. But I will say, in order to do that one, I have to be pretty comfortable with you, Madison said. Of course, Portnoy said, and he bought her a first-class plane ticket to visit him at his $2.2 million Nantucket home. The trip was a traumatic experience, Madison told Insider. She arrived at Portnoy's four-bedroom home about 3 p.m. Okay, so let me just start here. Stop here. Okay, here's the standard. You can consent. Consent, consent, no. The no is good. However, if we are trying to establish evidence that Dave Portnoy did something bad to you that you did not want to do, I can tell you how you obscure our ability to believe your story. You have sexual text messages claiming that you want to be raped or that you have a rape fantasy. You then accept a ticket from a man 23 years your senior who's explicitly sent you messages of other women he's had sex with and talked with you about how much you guys want to have sex and how you'll get along well because you have rape fantasies. You show up at his house and then you proceed to have sex with him. Like, these seem to be indicators that perhaps you are not, like, that this does not fall clear. Let's just put it this way. It does not fall clearly into the evidenced rape category. By the way, she doesn't even allege rape. Just going to say that right off the bat. She arrived at Portnoy's four-bedroom house about 3 p.m., tired from her travels. She didn't mind when Portnoy told her they would order in pizza instead of going out. Still, she was surprised to find him nothing like his charismatic online persona. He was very rude. He wasn't funny at all. He just reminded me of a boring, grumpy old man, Madison said. After dinner, they started kissing. I have a question. Madison said, so first of all, when you meet somebody who's, like, boring and old and grumpy, do you normally just start making out with them? Is that, like, a thing that you do, typically? Call me naive. I don't know. Madison said she first became uncomfortable when Portnoy pulled out his phone and started filming her without asking permission as she performed oral sex on him. I never said anything. I was scared. He was just so mean, she said, while having oral sex with him. By the way, he says, as we'll see, that he never filmed her without her permission. Okay, and then she texted a friend 2 days after having sex with Portnoy, saying it was rough. I felt like I was being raped. He videotaped me and spit in my mouth and choked me so hard I couldn't breathe. She said, I felt like I was just a human sex doll. She recalls crying and shouting, too much, and it hurts. She said, Portnoy just went harder. Okay, so Portnoy just denies all of this. He says this is not true. And again, I'm not sure how you're supposed to develop a chain of evidence based on her allegations 2 days later after having done all of these things. Like, just from an evidentiary level, I don't know why the he said, she said is supposed to come down in her favor, particularly when he has now shown texts about these people basically saying they want to have sex with him. Right? So, for example, Portnoy was accused by two women, Allison 19 and 20-year-old Madison, both of whom were given aliases, of aggressive and unpleasant sexual behavior, filming them without permission and leaving them feeling humiliated and traumatized in the explosive November 4th article. Portnoy gave a live stream yesterday, and then he showed a message from Allison, in which she texted him, quote, really want to see you, would do anything. She added, can we bang? Okay. Then, Portnoy also attacked the journalist. He said that the journalist is out to get him, which is obviously true. Portnoy said this is total BS, cancel culture 101. He showed a series of screenshots from both of them. He pointed out how in the article, Allison's sister Olivia, 22, says she wanted to secure a sought-after invite to Portnoy's $2 million Nantucket mansion, according to the Daily Mail. Olivia had been messaging him to no avail. She asked Allison, 3 years younger, to try. Literally in the article, they say they're trying to bait me, Portnoy said. This isn't journalism, it's editorial, saying we don't like Dave. Allison messaged him saying, really want to see you, would do anything, adding, can we bang? After they had sex, Allison messaged Portnoy again, saying she wanted to see him. Portnoy noted that in his reply, he said, if you don't want to do anything, we won't. Okay, like, after he had left Nantucket, Allison messaged him a few days later, urging him to return. I'm in shock you're still DMing me, she said. Like, what's up, Dave Portnoy? And then she messaged him again, sending him her phone number. It's turning to the second accuser. Portnoy showed another series of comments left below a TikTok video she made. She replied to a comment saying, quote, the article never said the sex was not consensual. Portnoy said that he and Madison, after they had sex, realized we disagreed on basically everything, like oil and vinegar. But he insisted their intimate relations were entirely consensual. If there was a hidden camera in that room, that would be absolutely nothing there. There would be absolutely nothing there, he said. The reporter then got a full staff position. Okay, so here was Portnoy yesterday fighting back against this.
They accuse me of rape, period. They say they didn't. There's no actual allegations. But if you read it, it's like girls running away. Dave won't stop. That's rape. I've said this from the top. I have never done anything inappropriate with any girl in life. And I have every girl I've basically been with who was like, this is up. And if we need you to go to bat, like, we will.
Okay, so again, like, the fact that Portnoy is fighting back against this is good. Now, normally the way that this works in the media is if anyone makes an allegation like this, people start running for the hills. They start immediately apologizing, saying that they must have been misunderstood. Portnoy understands that the minute you say that you're done, he gets it. And that's good. Again, I'm not defending any of his actual behavior here. Because, again, I am a traditional moralist, so I don't like any of his actual behavior here. But what I do like is that he is fighting back against a media establishment that will go after people based on politics. I guarantee you that every single actor in Hollywood who is major has done things that are exactly like this, exactly like this. And then if they're ever called on it, the media basically ignore it if they happen to be political enough. And by the way, if an actor ever speaks out about it and says, I don't do this because I'm afraid that stuff like this will happen, they rip him up. Remember that Henry Cavill did this, the guy who plays Superman? Henry Cavill said that it was tough to date. He said it was tough to date because he didn't know whether he'd be accused of something he didn't do. He said that back in 2018, he was ripped up and down for saying this. In a lengthy interview with GQ Australia back in 2018, he said, there's something wonderful about a man chasing women. There's a traditional approach to that, which is nice. I think a woman should be wooed and chased. Maybe I'm old-fashioned for thinking that. He said that it's difficult to pursue a woman that way if there are certain rules in place. He said, I don't want to go up to her because I'm going to be called a rapist or something. So you're like, forget it. I'll call an ex-girlfriend instead and go back to a relationship, which has never worked. But it's way safer than casting myself into the fires of hell because I'm someone in the public eye. And if I go and flirt with someone, who knows what's going to happen? And he was ripped up and down. He was ripped up and down. And left was like, well, if he doesn't want to be accused of rape, he shouldn't rape anyone. Except that you guys accuse people of rape all the time without any sort of evidence, apparently. It doesn't require evidence. So good on Portnoy for fighting back against this. Truly. And I gotta say, those text messages do not cut in favor of the Business Insider case that Portnoy is some sort of wild, rapey guy who's just forcing himself on women without their consent. That's not what those text messages show in any way, shape, or form. Alrighty, we'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, Policy Genius. Hey, you need to make sure that you have life insurance. Let's say that you have been tasked with hunting down a gang of drug bandits in a South American jungle somewhere. And in the middle of this mission, you and your buddies are attacked by a seemingly invisible foe who just is destroying people. I mean, your buddies are, it's like Jesse Ventura out there. You got like Apollo Creed out there with you as well. And they're just getting wrecked. I mean, they're just getting destroyed. And you look around, you're like, oh my God, what's happening here? And as it turns out, you're being attacked by an alien that has chameleonic abilities to melt into the jungle. Well, before you ask the question, what the hell are you? You might be asking yourself, maybe I should have gotten life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started, super simple. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. Compare those personalized quotes. Find your best price. Head over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. That's PolicyGenius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, it seems like Joe Biden is starting to realize that inflation is not temporary. It only took him way too long. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
No man, no woman, no one left behind. For the VFW, it's a credo that stands long after our fighting days are over. Because our service never stops. We're still serving. Which is why we pledge to help our own, no matter where they are or when they need us. Standing in lockstep with those who stood so courageously for everyone else. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So remember that time that Joe Biden said that inflation was temporary? Remember he said it like a lot. In fact, here is a flashback compendium of Joe Biden saying that inflation is temporary.
Our economy has come roaring back. We've seen some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view. These disruptions are temporary. There's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. No serious economist.
Okay, well now CNN reports, Biden is backing off the temporary inflation stuff.
We're going to start today with our money lead and a change of tone from the White House as it acknowledges that the rising prices most of us are experiencing that they have downplayed will likely last much longer than originally expected. For weeks, President Biden has promised Americans that this inflation is only temporary, but now he's admitting these higher prices are slowing down the economic recovery from our emergence out of the coronavirus pandemic. And top Biden officials are conceding it could be middle to end of next year, 2022, before we begin to see any improvement on prices at the store.
Yeah, man. So things are going great. And Joe Biden is beginning to realize that the polls do not cut in his favor. According to Yahoo News, a new poll shows that the new bill, is Build Back Better nonsense, it's significantly less popular than the original $3.5 trillion proposal that preceded it. Apparently, a majority of Americans now disapprove of how Biden is handling his job. He is underwater on the economy, 40% approval. Dealing with Congress, 33% approval. When asked who they'd rather see as Democratic presidential nominee in 2024, 41% say someone else. Only 38% say Biden. Meanwhile, when it comes down to the Build Back Better plan, it turns out that only about 28% of Americans are like, yeah, we need that. That sounds great. So, good stuff happening right there. It's now opposed, 28% positive, 45% negative. 45% negative. So that is, you know, not going well for Joe Biden. And as the Wall Street Journal points out, he's going to have a tough time convincing anybody to vote for this thing. They said the highest inflation in three decades is posing a new challenge for President Biden as he seeks to enact another pillar of his economic agenda, while also easing Americans' concerns about rising consumer prices. The inflation has driven new Republican criticism of Democrats' $2 trillion social spending and climate plan, which the White House calls Build Back Better, House Democrats aiming to wrap up the bill next week and send it to the Senate. Well, of course, they can do whatever the hell they want, but it's Joe Manchin who really is in control. Joe Manchin has said, we are spending too much money. The inflation is real. This is a mistake. Nancy Pelosi basically just wants to be done with this. So she's going to pass it, and then she's going to, and then she's going to kind of throw up her hands and say, well, we're done here. We did all we could. Manchin tweeted, by all accounts, the threat posed by record inflation to the American people is not transitory and is instead getting worse. From the grocery store to the gas pump, Americans know the inflation tax is real. D.C. can no longer ignore the economic pain Americans feel every day. So good luck to Joe Biden. Honestly, the best thing that can happen for Biden at this point is for Manchin to just kill it outright. Because then he gets credit from the left for trying to push it through. Manchin gets blamed. Manchin maybe holds a seat in West Virginia. The worst thing for Joe Biden is if Manchin and Sinema collapse. If Manchin and Sinema collapse and the thing passes, he's going to have to own that crap. I'm not sure he wants to own that crap. Maybe he does because he knows that he's a one-term president because, I mean, frankly, he is declining faster than a very fat person on a toboggan down the side of a very snowy hill. His decline is not going well here. And so maybe he's just like, okay, I got to get what I can get while I can get it. But if he hopes to retain the Senate at all in 2022, he needs this not to pass. If this passes, I think it's much worse for him than if it doesn't pass. If it doesn't pass, again, maybe he survives because the economy somehow straightens out here and the Fed tapers a little bit and people go back to work. But if it passes, I think he's got a world of hurt on his hands. He's got to be praying to a certain extent that Manchin and Sinema don't listen to Joe Biden, which would make sense. He's done the same thing now with the CDC eviction moratorium as well as his vax mandate. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by Representative Jim Jordan to discuss a wide variety of topics. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Deco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
It's time. If you've waited to get the COVID-19 vaccine, a clinic for those 5 years and older will be held at the Shasta Community Health Center at 3270 Churn Creek Road in Reading on Friday, November 19th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Brought to you by the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect and the Seek Center in partnership with the Shasta Community Health Center. Booster vaccine will also be available. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out roundtable pizza, Dutch Bros, Walmart, and Starbucks gift cards at the COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic Friday, November 19th, Shasta Community Health Center, Churn Creek Road, Reading.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy holidays.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
California Care Force 2021 is offering free dental, vision, and medical care for underserved and underinsured individuals and families in Butte and surrounding counties November 12th through the 14th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. More than 350 volunteer healthcare professionals from throughout California will be there to assist you. All services are free, and clinic participants do not need proof of insurance, employment, income, residency, immigration status, or an ID to receive benefits.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Redding Garden of Lights. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
StJude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Representative Jim Jordan, representing Ohio's 4th District in the United States House of Representatives. He's co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus. He also has a brand new book out, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. Representative Jordan, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Well, you bet, Ben. Good to be with you. And thanks for all you do for a conservative cause and for common sense, frankly. So good to be with you.
I appreciate it. So why don't we start with the latest Democratic attempts to ram through Build Back Better. Nancy Pelosi obviously wants to bring this up for some sort of vote. She's saying that next week they might bring it up for some sort of vote.
Yeah.
It's unclear sort of where the moderates in the Democratic caucus are on this, if you can really call them all that moderate. They're more moderate than Pelosi
right.
is. But where do we stand on that process at the moment?
Unfortunately, I think they probably got the votes. I mean, I hate to say it because this is only going to exacerbate everything else they've done wrong, only going to make inflation and everything else worse. But I think they probably have the votes in the House. So this is, I think, unfortunately going to come down to whether Senator Manchin, Senator Sinema hold strong and remain against, you know, say no against this package. So, but I think that's probably where it plays out. We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, frankly, I'm not sure what's worse for the Biden administration, if the thing passes or if it doesn't. Right now, the thing is way underwater. Only 28% of Americans like the Build Back Better plan. If it passes, it's going to exacerbate the inflation. If it doesn't pass, I sort of wonder if the Biden administration has to be hoping against hope that Manchin and Sinema both kill the damn thing. I want to get your opinion on the infrastructure deal as well, because the Republican caucus had the opportunity to really deal a serious blow to the Biden
yeah.
administration. They did not. 13 Republicans defected
yep.
and gave Nancy Pelosi her margin of victory, even though the squad had deprived her of that margin of victory. What did you make of that?
Yep. No, that was terribly unfortunate. I mean, look, we had a chance. When you're in the minority, you don't get many chances to win. You don't get many chances to beat the majority on something they've been pushing now for months. So we had an opportunity. The fact that 13 went along with the Democrats made no sense to me, because these things have been linked. I mean, President Biden said they've been linked. He said that, you know, two months ago, I think. So the idea that they did that made no sense to me. And it just is going to allow a better opportunity for this next package, which I think is even worse than the one that passed on Friday. Going to give it an opportunity to pass as well. And, you know, I said the other day, you think about the Democrats' economic plan. It's basically the dumbest plan in history. It's lock down the economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work. And then for everyone who has been working, oh, they're getting ready to raise your taxes. Such a deal. So that's their plan. And passing the thing last Friday, this first so-called infrastructure bill with very little infrastructure actually in it, paves the way for this second package, which is all kinds of ridiculous policy, tax increases, bad energy policy, everything else. So it made no sense. But again, unfortunately, that's where we're at. Let's just, like I said, let's hope that the two senators stay strong and the second part doesn't pass.
We're seeing Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. His book is Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. So, Representative Jordan, one of the big things that's being pushed by the Biden administration right now is this vaccine mandate via OSHA. We filed a lawsuit here at Daily Wire against the vaccine mandate. It's already been put on hold by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States do have the authority under the Congressional Review Act to actually look at regulations like this and stop regulations like this, or at least force Joe Biden to veto a use of the Congressional Review Act. I know that there have been some attempts in the House to push back against this. Maybe you can tell us about those.
No, we're trying everything we can because this, I think this is unconstitutional. God bless you guys for suing in so many states and other entities who brought suit on this action. I think it's unconstitutional. I think we're going to win in the end. But in the meantime, this is not only bad on a fundamental liberty perspective, but just the practical implications. I got a trucking company in our district, 600 employees. He called me last week. He said, Jim, if this passes, he says half of my drivers aren't vaccinated. Half of his drivers. So you think we got supply chain problems now? Wait until you have fewer truck drivers out there to move the goods that need moving that have been backing up for now months. So this is wrong on all accounts. Let's hope that the court stays firm and that the next level that they'll continue to say this is wrong. But we just need to keep talking about and pushing in every way we possibly can. And so thank you for what you and your team are doing.
All righty, we'll get some more with Representative Jim Jordan in just one moment. First, let's talk about how you can do something incredible. You can help stop a great evil taking place in our society today. Since 1973, 62 million babies, their lives have been taken. Preborn is dedicated to saving the lives of the preborn every day. Their clinics provide help for women in crisis, shining light and love and a free ultrasound. If you've never been in the room when an ultrasound is done, it is life-changing. It is an astonishing experience. The magic of science has basically allowed us to see into the inner workings of the human body to the extent you can actually see your baby growing. That changes lives. And when an expectant mother meets her unborn baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is more likely to choose life for her preborn baby. Would you join with the Ben Shapiro Show and Preborn in rescuing 10,000 babies' lives? One ultrasound is just $28. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help to save 5 babies' lives. And now, through a match, your tax-deductible gift is doubled, saving more babies' lives. To donate securely, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/Ben. Preborn.com/Ben. Let's do it. Stand for the preborn. Preborn is a 501c3 organization. So, Representative Jordan, obviously the Democrats are trying to misdirect from their own failures here. The American people are about to deliver them an absolute shellacking in 2022. If what happened in Virginia and New Jersey is anywhere near duplicable in 2022, Democrats could lose 40, 50, maybe even 60 seats in the House. They're trying to redirect away from that back toward January 6th. It seems like the all-purpose defense of everything Democrats do is January 6th, Republicans involved, let's subpoena everybody. So where do we stand on the January 6th move by Democrats? They obviously have this supposedly bipartisan group of people investigating that. That includes a couple of Republicans who voted in favor of Trump's impeachment, and now they're attempting to subpoena everybody under the sun. Where do we stand on that?
Well, no, you've hit the nail on the head that this is all political because they have to focus on January 6th, Ben, because what else are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about the border. That's a mess. They're going to talk about inflation. They're going to talk about crime up in every major urban area. They're going to talk about the debacle that was the Afghanistan exit. I mean, what else? They're going to talk about energy. We went from energy independence to the spectacle of the President of the United States begging OPEC to increase production. So that they have to focus on January 6th. It's all they got. They found out when you run a campaign and say, oh, government smarter than parents and that Democrats want to defund the police, that voters don't like that too much. They found that out loud and clear in Virginia and other areas just a week ago. So they're going to keep focused on January 6th. They're going to continue to do things I think are also unconstitutional in what they're doing to subpoena certain people and just, I think, eviscerate executive privilege. So, but I think that's all they got. So they have to focus on that. And you know how that town is. The left-wing press is going to continue to help them talk about it. But it's not playing with the American people. The American people see January 6th as something that was wrong, what happened, and those people should be prosecuted, and they are. But they don't see that this thing needs to be focused on, particularly when the FBI is already doing an investigation.
Yeah, so Representative Jordan, what is the legal basis for Congress subpoenaing all of this? So presumably Congress typically subpoenas a lot of records when they are about to create some sort of legislation in order to correct a particular problem. Like Congress isn't just allowed to subpoena me for no particular reason and then just take a look at my tax records, for example. They actually have to have some sort of legislative purpose in mind. So what exactly do Democrats purport to believe their legislative purpose is when it comes to January 6th?
No, you're exactly right. There is no legislative purpose, and there's frankly no real oversight function. If there was crimes committed, then the FBI, the Justice Department, will in fact investigate and prosecute and indict like they're supposed to. And guess what? 600 people have been indicted for wrongdoing they did on January 6th. So I agree with you completely. There is no legislative purpose. I don't think there's legitimate oversight because this is something that is done by the executive branch, holding people accountable for wrongdoing, for crime. And that's what the Justice Department is in fact doing. But this is political. You can see it by the way they've done the depositions of the few people they've actually deposed, of the people they're subpoenaed. So, I think the American people, see this for what it is. And the other thing I always point out is never forget Republicans have been consistent. You've been consistent. We condemn violence every time it happens. We condemned it when it happened on January 6th. I certainly did. You did. Republicans have, every one of us. And then we also condemned it when it happened in the summer of 2020. But Democrats didn't. In the summer of 2020, they didn't condemn the violence. They went out and raised money to bail the very people who were attacking police officers and destroying small businesses. They went out and raised money to bail them out of jail. So that's the part that really bothers me with this whole move by the Democrat Party.
So, Representative Jordan, obviously, Republicans tend to do really well when they're out of power, in the sense that we're capable of obstructing some things and we have the left to rip on. Let's say the Republicans re-enter power in 2022. Obviously, they're not going to have the presidency in 2022, barring some sort of cataclysmic, unforeseen circumstance. I can't imagine how that would even be possible. But in 2024, things change. So let's fast forward a few years. Let's assume best of all possible worlds. We have a Republican president. We're back with a Republican House and Republican Senate. What exactly should be top of the agenda for Republicans? Because Republican voters get very dissatisfied almost exactly the minute the Republicans actually enter power and are expected to do things.
Yeah, you undo the terrible things the Biden administration has done. We had the last week in a committee hearing, Ben, we had Ro Khanna, a Democrat member from Silicon Valley area of California. We had the CEOs of the oil companies in Chevron, Exxon, and Mobil, and BP, these folks. And Ro Khanna says, will you guys pledge to decrease production? And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's telling American companies, will you promise to decrease production at the very time the president of the United States is begging OPEC to increase production? So you got to undo the stupid energy policy that came from. You have to undo the tax increases that they did as well. So those will be priority number one. You have to put back in place the Hyde Amendment that protects human life. All those things have to happen. And then, of course, you have to do the investigation, which we can start, I think, in 2023. The investigations that need to be done, like for one is investigate Dr. Fauci and all this gain of function stuff that took place in the lab in China. Investigate how the IRS, how thousands of tax returns became public. All those things need to be investigated as well. So that to me is where we have to go. And that's what the American people expect us to do if they give us power.
So, Representative Jordan, one of the things that obviously needs to be investigated now, there's already a DOJ investigation, but there does need to be a House oversight investigation of the FBI and DOJ, given the new revelations from the Durham case, that the Steele dossier was essentially ginned up by the Clinton campaign. It was laundered into the law enforcement arena. Law enforcement then laundered it back into the media by presenting it to President Trump. I mean, I understand that we've done oversight on this several times before. But it seems that with the new evidence that's now being presented, that Igor Danchenko was allegedly at the center of all of this, and that most of the Steele dossier was made up by people who were just working for Clinton. It seems like there might be more here than meets the eye.
Yeah, and we'll see where Durham goes. I do think it's important to point out that the Zussman indictment and the Danchenko indictment weren't because these individuals lied to Durham and his investigative team. That's normally when you get a false statement to the FBI or lying to the FBI. No, this was the original lie that took place in 16 and 17. So Durham's going right back to the source. And as you rightly point out, this goes right to the Clinton campaign. They hatched this whole plan. They did it. I was on the Benghazi Select Committee at the time. They did it because they were trying to take the heat and the pressure and the news away from the fact that Hillary Clinton had this email, this server, and she had destroyed a bunch of emails. So that was the motivation. It was all baloney. We called it baloney from the get-go. There were a handful of folks in the press like you and others, and a handful of us in Congress said this is garbage. And frankly, we've been proven right. The only thing we had wrong is it was worse than we thought. So I hope Durham continues to go and gets to the bottom of this and holds people, because it seems to me, how could the FBI not know that this was garbage? I mean, Zussman walks straight. Zussman doesn't filter it through Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele. Zussman, who worked for Perkins Coie Law Firm, the Clinton Law Firm, walked directly into the FBI and handed the false information to not just anyone, but to Jim Baker, the chief counsel at the FBI. But somehow the FBI didn't know that this was garbage. I don't buy that, and I hope Durham is functioning with that premise and is going to get to the bottom of it all.
Well, that is Representative Jim Jordan. Go check out his book, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. Representative Jordan, appreciate your hard work.
You bet. Thanks, Ben. Good to be with you.
All righty. Coming up, there's an article in The Atlantic that is just so telling about how so many people on the left apparently feel about COVID, and it is frightening. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your keys in the car while you run into the gas station to go to the bathroom. You come back out, and usually it's fine. Sometimes the car is gone. So don't do that. Bring your keys with you. The same thing is true with your data. Don't leave your data out there for anybody to grab. This is why you need a VPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data, passwords, financial details, anything. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack somebody, since cheap hardware is pretty much all it takes. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal information on the dark web. Here's why I like ExpressVPN. Because, well, I am somewhat tech knowledgeable. I'm not at all tech savvy. And ExpressVPN basically means I click a button, I download it, I click another button, and now I'm protected. I never have to think about it again. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't have access to your sensitive data. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben to learn more. Already coming up, an article from The Atlantic that really explains how so many people feel about COVID, and it should scare the hell out of you if you're a freedom-loving person. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
You take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss. Call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the paranoia about COVID is just out of control at this point. Here is the deal. Once more, if you are vaccinated, you are basically good to go. If you're immunocompromised, then you should either be wearing an N95 or you should go get a booster if you need one. Otherwise, it is now up to you. And there are entire countries now that are locking down, by the way. According to Reuters today, bars and restaurants will close early. Sporting events will be held without audiences under a 3-week partial lockdown expected to be announced in the Netherlands on Friday evening. People will be urged to work from home as much as possible. No audiences will be allowed at sporting events in the coming weeks, including top-level soccer matches. Schools, theaters, and cinemas would remain open. Caretaker Prime Minister Mark Rutte's cabinet will take a final decision during a cabinet meeting on Friday. About 88% of the population has had one dose of the vaccine at this point. New coronavirus infections have increased rapidly after social distancing measures were dropped in late September. They hit a record of about 16,300 in 24 hours on Thursday. The new wave of infections has put pressure on hospitals throughout the country, forcing them to scale back regular care again to treat COVID-19 patients. Okay, but again, not a lot of people are dying in the Netherlands. Okay, if you look at the statistics right now from the Netherlands in terms of deaths per day, they are very low. Like the current number of deaths per day in the Netherlands is 24, maybe. That says November 11th. The 7-day rolling average is 24. Okay, that is not a big number. Okay, when they were in the middle of the pandemic, that number was like 150. Even in the second wave that happened earlier this year, it was like 100. So now they're averaging about 24 because most of the people who are dying are in that pocket of the unvaccinated or people who are seriously immunocompromised in the first place. So 24 people are dying a day in the Netherlands. They're shutting down the entire society again. Remember, that is 24 people dying a day in a population of almost 18 million. And they are shutting down large swaths of their society. So good luck with that. Good luck with that. And what's driving this is a real panic mentality. There's a piece by a person named Alexis Madrigal from The Atlantic called "Getting Back to Normal is Only Possible Until You Test Positive." When I first received the invitation to the wedding where I'd eventually get COVID, I was on the fence about attending at all. My best friend had gone through a tough divorce and was remarrying. I was thrilled for him. His wedding had been put off repeatedly because of COVID. This was the couple's second try at a real ceremony. As a bonus, the wedding would take place in New Orleans, where my friend lives. I hadn't seen him since before the pandemic. New Orleans is a miraculous place, my favorite city to visit in America. The downside, of course, was the risk of exposure to COVID. Sure, I'm vaccinated. 2 shots of Pfizer. And all the other attendees would be vaccinated, too. But breakthrough cases happen, and we'd be in New Orleans in October. One could not expect to not get exposed to COVID. But I reasoned with myself and my wife. COVID was unlikely to kill me, a vaccinated 39-year-old endurance athlete. I would be fine. Even if I gave COVID to any of my family members, they would almost certainly be fine. My wife is vaccinated. Our young children's risk of serious illness, while not non-existent, is very low. I went back and forth looking at flights, realizing I'd probably have to travel through Las Vegas and have a considerable layover. But for some reason, I decided to go. Oh, but things they went wildly wrong. Wildly right. He wore an N95 mask in the Las Vegas airport. And then he went to the wedding. No one was wearing a mask. For some reason, I was shocked. The wedding was maskless, too, but in a huge, airy, gorgeous building. There was a second line through the streets. People danced and waved white handkerchiefs with the names of the bride and groom. My wife was rightfully getting worried. It seemed not unlikely I'd get exposed to COVID. Had we really been thinking clearly? Had we really wanted to take that level of risk? Honestly, once I'd been in the situation, the realness started to unfurl. The next day, away from the wedding, visiting with my best friend, it became more and more obvious. My wife and I needed a plan for my return. I would do a rapid PCR test at the airport. At least that would get me somewhere. My kids were happy to see me after my negative result came back to hug me. Was I actually safe? I knew I was not. I should have quarantined. But I had stuck my wife with the kids for 4 days. I wanted to get back in the mix and help. It seemed like the right thing to do. On Monday, I felt fine. but I took an antigen test anyway. So he just keeps testing. I scheduled the PCR test for the next day. By the time my appointment arrived, I'd started to have some post-nasal drip, and I had a psychosomatic tickle in my throat. Tuesday night, my PCR result came back negative. The next day, my symptoms were about the same. I did an intense Peloton workout. I wasn't eager to test again, but my wife heard me cough and said, couldn't you take another antigen test? Then I tested positive. My God. So you had basically no symptoms and you tested positive, and this is the end of the world. He said, I felt pretty sick, like when you have a cold, but I've probably been sicker 15 times as an adult. But the real worst case scenario was everything that happened to the people around me. For me, the worst part was my children. They knew cognitively I was vaccinated and unlikely to get very sick. That said, COVID-19 for them is a terrible thing. They reacted in different ways. My non-binary 8-year-old was so mad and maybe so scared that they could barely look at me. I'm seeing some symptoms of real problems here. Okay, real issues with you. Forget about your kids. You're busy screwing up. You. You're the one with the problem, dude. You're crazy. You made everyone in your family insane, and then you're surprised when they made you insane because you made them insane because you're insane. I'm sorry, you got a mild cold that is not even in the top 20 illnesses you've ever had, and this ruined your life so much so that you had to write a piece for The Atlantic about what a hero you are for having your life ruined. Some people are loving this, honestly. I don't think this person hates this at all. I think they love it. I think they love every element of it. And because they love it, because they love the attention-seeking, the victimology of it, because they enjoy it, I think that for a lot of people in blue states, it's just going to continue. All righty, have a good weekend. We'll see you here on Monday, Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. A New York man arrested for making a death threat against his congressman, a Republican who voted for the $1 trillion infrastructure package, correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
64-year-old Kenneth Gasper was arrested Wednesday for a telephone death threat against Congressman Andrew Garbarino, Nassau County Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder.
Besides using his displeasure with the congressman's voted on the recent infrastructure bill, he used some profanity, and then he made a threat.
That tape courtesy WABC-TV. Garbarino was one of 13 Republicans who voted for the bill. Ryder says the suspect had no prior record, but...
We have a zero tolerance for this type of behavior for any of our residents. In the world that we're living today, the climate that is out there, these threats we take very serious.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Also at townhall.com, a conservative group that has focused on combating President Biden's economic agenda has now launched a $100,000 ad campaign. The campaign is targeting 5 different Democratic lawmakers over rising consumer prices. Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
The Coalition to Protect American Workers, a group led by former Vice President Mike Pence's former Chief of Staff, Mark Short, is running the ads digitally in the home districts of 5 moderate House Democrats who've expressed reservations at times about the president's $1.75 trillion social economic spending plan. The ad targets Representative Stephanie Murphy of Florida, Ed Case of Hawaii, Jared Golden of Maine, Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, and Kurt Schrader of Oregon. The 30-second ad focuses on the issue of inflation, with a voiceover saying Mr. Biden, quote, doesn't understand just how bad inflation is hurting Americans. Bernie Bennett reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the 4 best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. He's pushed for a massive tax increase, and his $2 trillion infrastructure plan is a $2 trillion tax hike on American employers. Job Creators Network works hard to fight these attacks, and they're looking for a few good men and women to join their Small Business Advocacy and Advisor Program. They will prepare you to be a leader for small businesses in your community, your state, and the country you love. If you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com now. That's joinjcn. They need you. America needs you.
Pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca says it will continue to sell COVID vaccine at cost to poor countries.
AstraZeneca's vaccine was developed in partnership with the University of Oxford and benefited from significant amounts of funding from the UK government. The company pledged to sell the vaccine at cost price for the duration of the pandemic. Now, however, it says it'll move towards modest profitability as new orders are received. The money made over the next few months will help to cover the costs of developing an antibody treatment for COVID-19. Sales of the vaccine to developing countries will continue to be made on a not-for-profit basis.
BBC's Theo Leggett. Johnson & Johnson splitting into a couple of companies, separating the division that sells Band-Aids and Listerine from its medical device and prescription drug businesses. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, the Kellogg Company has filed suit against its local union in Omaha. John Scott has that story.
Kellogg's is complaining that striking workers are blocking entrances to its cereal plant and intimidating replacement workers who are entering the plant. The company has asked a judge to order the Omaha chapter of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union to stop interfering with its business while workers picket outside the plant. The workers in Omaha and Kellogg's three other U.S. cereal plants have been on strike since October 5th. 2 days of contract talks earlier this month failed to produce an agreement. John Scott reporting.
Wall Street numbers for Friday. Dow Industrials gaining 179 points for the day. The NASDAQ up 156. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 up 33, closing at 4682. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial continues to unfold, and frankly, the reactions are sort of more interesting than the trial at this point, because it is perfectly obvious that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. That was obvious from the time the footage came out. I waited to sort of make a final judgment on it until the prosecution brought forth its case, because sometimes you get information that you didn't have before. It turns out the prosecution not only didn't have any information, the prosecution witnesses turned into defense witnesses. But it doesn't matter. People are very invested in this particular case. And when you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why are people in the media so invested in this particular case? And you understand why they were invested in the Brett Kavanaugh case. Because there we were talking about a conservative justice being added to the Supreme Court and shifting the balance of the court from 5-4 Republican appointees to 6-3 Republican appointees. You understand why they were so entranced with the Christine Blasey Ford claims, even though there was no evidence to back them. You even understand why the left gets very involved in trials like George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, even though there was no accusation of racism. At least the races match up with the narrative that the left wanted to tell, which is that black people are routinely mistreated by white cops. even though the evidence does not show that, that black people are under the knee of American police throughout the nation due to race. Yeah, but you understand why they were pushing that narrative, and you understood that at least the races of the people involved matched up. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense on sort of a pure point of view, because Kyle Rittenhouse is white, and all three of the people he shot were white, and all the people who were burning things that night were white. So that's a lot of white people, right? So what you're talking about is a bunch of people who are burning down Kenosha, Wisconsin, mainly because they were supposedly angry about the shooting of Jacob Blake, who happened to be a career criminal who was shot while holding a knife after refusing to put down the knife after police told him to put down the knife. They'd been called to the scene by his ex-wife, who was accusing him of attempting to rape her in the past and then showing up and trying to get the kids in here and now. So it's like a bad case. If you're going to pick an example of a controversy that, that really demonstrates how bad America is, this is a bad one. It's hard to shoehorn it into the racial narrative. And what's really fascinating is the difference in attention that's being paid to, for example, the Arbery trial, this trial versus the Arbery trial, the Rittenhouse trial versus the Arbery trial. The Arbery trial matches up much more closely with the sort of narrative that the left wishes to purvey. Right? In that particular case, you have a black man who gets shot to death after he is on an open construction site and then runs away from the open construction site. And some white guys chase him down in the truck. They try to run him off the road. And then finally, they blockade the road. And when he tries to, they're holding guns to try and stop him from running away, even though he wasn't effectively committing a crime. There was no accusation that Arbery had committed a crime by walking around the open construction site. And he tried to push his way through. At one point, there's a struggle for the gun, and somebody shoots him. Right? That one seems to match up much more closely with the narrative that the left would like to push about how all American white people are attempting to gun down all black people, are racially profiling them, etc. But the disparate amount of attention paid to the Arbery trial versus the amount of attention paid to the Rittenhouse trial is really fascinating because, again, one seems to fit the narrative and one really does not so much. So why? Why, you have to ask yourself, why is it that the media are so really just right on when it comes to the Rittenhouse trial, just spotlight, laser focus on the Rittenhouse trial? When it comes to the Arbery case, and we'll sort of cover it, kind of, a little bit. And the answer is, I think, that for the left, once there is a narrative that they have established with regard to a particular case, like the Rittenhouse trial, and once that narrative starts to implode, you must be lied to. It's not about trying to convince you that America is racist or terrible. It's that you must be told not to believe your eyes. As the case gets worse for the left becomes more ardent about defending the case. So remember, the original case the left wanted to make with regard to Rittenhouse, that Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. And the reason that he went there that night is because he was a racist who opposed Black Lives Matter. And the fact that all the people he shot were white was sort of irrelevant to the question because those people were protesting alongside Black Lives Matter. So the big narrative was Rittenhouse, giant white supremacist, probably a Trump supporter, really bad white guy. And this bad white guy is juxtaposed to the coalition of the oppressed and their white allies. And so Rittenhouse is bad, and the people that he shot are good. Now, as the facts emerge, and it turns out that all three of the people that Rittenhouse shot attacked him, and that all three had criminal records, and that one was a child molester, and that one of them was literally raising a gun to shoot Kyle Rittenhouse when he was shot, and that the third was bashing Kyle Rittenhouse in the head with a skateboard when he was shot, right? As those facts emerge, you would imagine that the media might back off. No, that's the whole point. The media cannot back off. The media must double down, because you must show your faith in the narrative. The reason that the fact pattern does not match for the left, that's almost a feature, not a bug. What I mean by that is that when the fact pattern matches their narrative, everybody agrees that the case should go one particular way and there's no disagreement. When there is disagreement, the left jumps all over it because they want to force you to not believe your own eyes. You see this all the time. And so the left will continue to maintain that Michael Brown, who was shot justifiably by a police officer, is in fact a victim of white law enforcement. Like today, they will claim that Michael Brown, who by all of the evidence, witness evidence, forensic evidence, Michael Brown attacked a police officer in a police car, and then he tried to run away, and then when the police officer told him to stop, he charged the police officer and was shot for his trouble. It didn't matter that hands up, don't shoot never happened. It became a core part of the left's narrative. In fact, if you didn't believe the narrative, this meant you were bad. Right? If there were riots in Ferguson, Missouri, over the shooting of a guy who was attacking a police officer, the president of the United States, Barack Obama, would get on national TV and say that people don't make up stories like this, even though the story was literally made up beginning to end by the media and by witnesses who were lying about it at the time, including people who were friends with Michael Brown. Right? The Michael Brown case was a big focus of the media. You know what wasn't a big focus of the media? The Walter Scott case. You remember that Walter Scott was a black man who was shot in the back running away from police officers in South Carolina, and the police officer shot him, killed him, and then proceeded to plant a gun on him. That officer ended up going to jail, and he ended up being convicted. That doesn't fit the left-wing narrative, which is the entire system is bad. So they have to pick controversial cases. They have to pick a case in which you or I or anyone else looks at the evidence and says, no, I don't think this fits the narrative, because everything must fit the narrative. Even if it doesn't fit the narrative, it has to fit the narrative. And if you argue with the narrative, this is just demonstration of the white supremacy of the system. That's why the left is paying attention to the Rittenhouse trial, but not paying attention to the Arbery trial, because there's every possibility in the Arbery trial that based on the available fact pattern, that this is going to go down as manslaughter or murder. It's pretty incredible. It's the same thing with Derek Chauvin, by the way. The Derek Chauvin George Floyd trial, the evidence tended to show, I maintain, the evidence tended to show that George Floyd died of essentially a drug overdose based on his pre-existing medical conditions, and that he was not, in fact, killed by the knee to the neck. Okay, that's what I still believe that Derek Chauvin should not have been convicted, certainly of murder, and probably not of manslaughter. Okay, but the left has to maintain, because I maintain that, the left has to maintain that that is evidence that America is broadly writ racist. They look for controversial cases. They don't want clear-cut cases. Clear-cut cases are the enemy of the left. And so they will continue to maintain in the Rittenhouse case that Rittenhouse is guilty, and that if you oppose the notion that Rittenhouse is guilty, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the controversy because these cases are not about the people at the center of the cases. These cases are about you and your reaction. These cases are about how you react to the evidence. If you react by saying, wait, I disagree with the narrative, that's because you are a racist. And even if you're right, you're still a racist. And we'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station for, you know, like a bathroom break. Well, most of the time, it'll probably be fine. But then there's that one time you come out of the bathroom and your car is gone. So why would you do anything like that? You shouldn't do that with your data either. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data, passwords, financial details, everything that you use, everything that's important to you. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack somebody. Some cheap hardware is needed. Smart 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. So use ExpressVPN to stop all of this. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And it's super easy to use. You fire up the app, you click one button, and now you are protected. I've been using ExpressVPN for years. You should do the same. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, so let me show you case in point as to the left perspective on the Rittenhouse trial. So there is a piece today at NBCNews.com by Isaac Bailey, professor of public policy at Davidson College and author of Why Didn't We Riot? A Black Man in Trump Land. Yeah, I think you know where this is going. And the piece is called A Sobbing Kyle Rittenhouse Already Won, Even Before His Trial Is Over. If convicted, he'll become a right-wing martyr. If he is freed, it's a message to others like him that prison won't be in their future. And here is what this columnist says. Kyle Rittenhouse, in an unusual move for a defendant, took the witness stand Wednesday. He cried. His defense team then made a motion for a mistrial with prejudice, which means Rittenhouse couldn't be retried. But whatever the court rules, he has already won. He's charged with reckless homicide, intentional homicide, attempted intentional homicide, for shooting three people, killing two of them, who were protesting the police shooting of yet another black man, Jacob Blake, in Kenosha, Wisconsin last summer. The protest followed many George Floyd-inspired ones that erupted across the world calling for police accountability and justice for black lives. White allies like the ones Rittenhouse shot were among the protesters. Rittenhouse has pled not guilty. Okay, so that's the narrative. The narrative is Jacob Blake was shot by evil white cops. Okay, false. He was shot because he is a criminal who refused to end the threat to the officers by putting down the knife that was in his hand. And that's lie number one. Two, the protest that erupted was calling for police accountability and justice for black lives. Really, was burning down local businesses really important to that particular thing? Was that the goal, the burning down of the local businesses? Because that's why Rittenhouse was there. It was because of the burning down of local businesses. I noticed he didn't show up at just any old protest in Madison, Wisconsin. He showed up in Kenosha, where people were literally burning car lots. And these are white allies, right, according to this columnist. So if they're white allies, then they are black adjacent. You have to understand that according to the left, the way this works is that if you are a successful black person in the United States and don't buy into the left line, and if you're financially successful and you don't buy into the left line about the evils of America, This means that you are white adjacent. Right? So Winsome Sears is white adjacent over in Virginia. Or Clarence Thomas is white adjacent. Meanwhile, if you are an upper class Tony white liberal who goes out and throws firebombs at cop cars, you are now apparently black adjacent or at least a white ally, according to the left. So, according to this piece on NBC News, if Rittenhouse is convicted, he will likely stop being a right-wing mascot and become a right-wing martyr. If he isn't convicted, he will set a precedent for others to like him to pick up guns they shouldn't have and thrust themselves into the middle of unrest they should avoid, confident in knowing that prison won't be in their future. I love that at no point has anybody discussed the fact that Gage Grosskreutz had a gun that presumably he shouldn't have had, and that people were attempting to beat Kyle Rittenhouse to death, and that one of the people who was shot was grabbing for Rittenhouse's gun and also happened to be a child molester. Like, at no point does any of this match the narrative. But again, the narrative is all that matters. To his supporters and many of his detractors, Rittenhouse isn't a monster, not really. He was a young, dumb kid hyped up on the Foxification or Fox News effect of American discourses on Black Lives Matter in a country that fetishizes guns for show, for sport, for killing. Not a white supremacist, like, say, Dylann Roof. Not really. He wore no hoods, didn't wrap himself in the Confederate flag. He's a patriot who tried to bring calm to chaos because, as Fox News primetime host Tucker Carlson told us at the time of the shooting, the adults around him wouldn't maintain order. He was so nonviolent, police officers greeted him and those like him, fellow guardians of the community, before he killed anyone. He didn't open fire until absolutely necessary. It was self-defense, his supporters have told us outside the courtroom, and his lawyers have argued inside the courtroom. Had criminals not rushed him, had they not provoked him, they would be alive. He would not have been charged. He defended himself, that's all. I mean, look at his red, tear-stained face on the stand, so compelling the judge stopped the trial for 10 minutes to allow Rittenhouse to compose himself. His tears tell the story. Said he was trying to do good to protect this dying nation, and that's the same nonsense claim people have been using throughout the U.S., right? Here's where this columnist gets to the point. The idea is that if you defend anyone from chaos and disorder, if you defend the system in any way, if you act in self-defense, this means that you are evil. And you're evil on the order of people who stormed the Capitol. You're evil on the order of people who want to end critical race theory. Like, it's all into one big, this is what they do. They spin every little incident into, it's a giant ball of narrative. And predominantly white voters were trying to defend their freedom. So they flock to an open bigot like Donald Trump and storm the U.S. Capitol. Angry parents, most of them white, are storming school board meetings, demanding an end to critical race theory lessons to protect white children from feeling guilt. Politicians and local officials have stoked this by framing the teaching of race and books that explore its context as something constituents should defend their communities from. The truth is that too many white Americans probably see themselves in Rittenhouse, afraid of anyone, whether white or of color, who wants to live in a more equitable country, even if some don't want to say so out loud. So this is the narrative. The narrative is that Kyle Rittenhouse is a stand-in for all of white America who's deeply afraid of the intersectional coalition and defending white America against their predations. So many things have pointed to their being scared, as Rittenhouse was described to have been during the protest and in the aftermath of the shooting. Frightened of losing the country their hardworking salt-of-the-earth parents and grandparents built, of becoming a minority among minorities, of being displaced as the de facto right way to be a real patriotic American, of being able just to define what that means. But it wasn't just fear that convinced Rittenhouse that he had a right, a responsibility even, to take a gun into the middle of unrest that didn't directly affect him. It was an entitlement as well. By the way, I love how the moral impetus has shifted here, right? The responsibility here doesn't lie with people not to burn down cities. It lies with you not to go and try and stop people from burning down cities. Really solid stuff. But again, this is why the left is so invested in this, because they have basically wrapped this up into a broad scale narrative that Kyle Rittenhouse, as always, is a microcosm of white America generally. And because he wished to defend private property from people who were burning it down, this means that he was standing against the march of progress in the United States. This is why, regardless of the verdict, says this columnist for NBC News, it's up to the rest of us to guarantee different outcomes. We need to make sure the disparity in who is afforded life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is honestly and continually discussed, and see to it that those tenets of American democracy are extended to those who have historically been left out. If you care about saving this democracy from the Kyle Rittenhouses of the world, you shouldn't look to a judge and jury. Kyle Rittenhouse is a threat to democracy, you see. Even if he acted in self-defense, it was a threat to democracy. In fact, because he acted in self-defense, it was a threat to democracy, because any white person who acts in self-defense is actually just a reactionary attempting to defend from that march of progress. This is the left-wing narrative, and this is why the left is so invested in this case, deeply invested in this case. And they'll come up with any excuse why Rittenhouse should not be acquitted, because they're so invested in the case, and explicitly because Rittenhouse should not be convicted. Rittenhouse should be convicted because society demands that Rittenhouse be convicted. The circumstances of the case, cutting in favor of Rittenhouse, that's actually just a religious demand on you, right? You should have faith in the woke narrative. Regardless of the facts, you have to take that leap of faith and embrace it. The more you look at the evidence and the more you think maybe Rittenhouse should get off, the more you are betraying, you are a heretic, you are betraying the narrative. Alrighty, coming up, the media, their narrative is falling apart here, but they must prop up the narrative at any cost. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Maybe this is you too. A lot of people do not like their health plan right now, and they're worried they're stuck with it. One that costs too much or doesn't meet their needs, or for whatever reason, they're just not happy with it. If that is you, some great news. There really is another choice. It's called MediShare, and it's such a great option, especially if you're self-employed, changing jobs, or part of the gig economy. Here's what you get when you switch to MediShare. First, huge savings. The typical family saves $500 a month. You also get a massive doctor network. You can just use the doctor of your choice, or MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. And you get to be part of something you can believe in. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. No wonder MediShare gets double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So no, you are not stuck. You've got a great alternative. Call now. 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are trying to prop up the case against Rittenhouse at any cost. And that means giving Gage Grosskreutz, the guy who was shot while trying to shoot Kyle Rittenhouse, a second bite at the apple. See, in his testimony, he basically said that Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. The media is like, no. We need you to say something different. Come on, Good Morning America. So on the stand, he admitted that Rittenhouse did not shoot him until he removed the gun from his holster and started to approach Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, now he's on Good Morning America. Now he's on Good Morning America talking about his view of Kyle Rittenhouse.
And what was your reaction to him breaking down and crying on the stand?
To me, it seemed like a child who had just gotten caught doing something that he wasn't supposed to. More upset that he was caught and less upset about what he had done and what he had taken and the numerous lives that he affected.
Okay, you literally testified in open court that he did not shoot you until you tried to take a gun out and shoot him. And now you're being given time on Good Morning America to revise your statement and say that really this is about how Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty and went to kill that night. The narrative must be maintained at all costs. You have Joy Behar saying that Kyle Rittenhouse crying was some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Well, I mean, she has an IMDb, and let me just say, Joy Behar is no great shakes. Here she was.
From what I'm gleaning from this case, the guy goes across state lines with an AR-15 with his mother and some other idiot in the car to defend himself against what? To having a protest in another state, and he takes it upon himself to go there, you know, and then he says it's self-defense. No. And that acting job of the crying, I can't even look at it.
Well, this is
that is one of the worst acting jobs I've ever seen.
And then she gets, they start to applaud, and then she, it gets in her small pea brain that this is a popular point of view, and so she just repeats it. Well, look at that acting job. This is the takeaway. The takeaway is that Kyle Rittenhouse is evil. And if you don't believe that Kyle Rittenhouse is evil, and you believe that the police should have been there doing the job instead, even if you believe all that, that does not mean that he didn't act in self-defense. She just dismisses the self-defense. Because again, the idea is that if you went across state lines to defend private property, this is the evil act. Understand that she thinks that people should be prosecuted for going and defending private property. That's really at the root of this. If you stand up in any way to the Black Lives Matter riots that happened last year, you are bad. Period. Even if you didn't shoot anybody. And so whatever happens afterward really is on you. Now, listen, the prosecution continues to collapse in on itself like a dying star. It's really impressive. So yesterday, for example, the prosecutor tried to establish the bias of a witness, Drew Hernandez, who shot the footage. I don't know how this would in any way discredit the footage, right? The footage that was available is footage that is available. It is on tape. That's the beautiful thing about footage. But here's the prosecutor trying to discredit the witness by suggesting that the witness has a personal bias. The answer to this would be normally, so the hell what?
Your videos that you have captured of these incidents that you call riots, they're very slanted against the people who are rioting. You characterize them as Antifa, Black Lives Matter rioters, correct?
Because they are rioting in the footage, yes, absolutely.
Do you, as you sit here today, do you personally know the defendant?
No.
But yet you call him by his first name?
That's his legal name. What else am I supposed to call him?
We're, ignore the footage. Again, so much of this is ignore what your own eyes tell you and just pay attention to what I'm telling you. Alrighty, coming up, when the facts of the case don't fit your narrative, you have to blame somebody. The judge is the person to blame today. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Premier, your family will change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
California Care Force 2021 is offering free dental, vision, and medical care for underserved and underinsured individuals and families in Butte and surrounding counties November 12th through the 14th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. More than 350 volunteer healthcare professionals from throughout California will be there to assist you. All services are free, and clinic participants do not need proof of insurance, employment, income, residency, immigration status, or an ID to receive benefits.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media have come up with the true culprit in this whole Rittenhouse trial. It's the judge. As I said yesterday, the media have already turned this into the judge is bad. It's the judge's fault. It's not our fault for lying to you. And they did. They lied to you for a year. Okay, this happened last year. They've been lying to you for a year about what exactly happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's been available on tape. They've been fibbing about it. In some cases, not even fibbing, calling him a domestic terrorist and a white supremacist and a person who went there to kill that night. And all of that's falling apart on them. So now it's the judge's bad. Who, by the way, the judge is normally predisposed to defendants, apparently, according to people who have practiced in front of him. Now, normally, that's something that I thought Democrats were in favor of, right? The rights of the accused were a thing that Democrats were big in favor of. If you had to sort of break down politics normally, people who are pro-prosecution, people who are pro-defense, typically, that sort of lines up right-left. Right? If you're right-wing, you tend to be more pro-prosecution generally. And if you're left-wing, you tend to be more pro-defense generally. Okay, well, you're supposed to follow the facts of the case in any case, but the normal predisposition is that way. Okay, so when it comes to a judge, right, it's usually been conservatives who are like, yeah, we want the hanging judge. And then you've got liberals who are like, no, we want the judge who's going to pat everybody on the back and tell them to go get a social worker, right? So, well, this is the social worker judge. This is the judge who's like, we would like for you to make sure that all the defendants are treated well. And now the left is like, this guy's a jerk. This guy's the worst. So they had some outside indicators that he is the worst. What are the outside indicators that he is the worst? So he made a joke about the supply chain crisis before break yesterday. He made a joke about how he was having Asian food, and he hoped that the food had not been held up at the port of Long Beach. But he said the word Asian, which means that he's a racist, which would impact this case because there are so many Asians involved. Or something. Here was the judge saying a super not racist thing and then being accused of being a racist.
Let's hope for 1 o'clock. I don't know. Hope the Asian food isn't coming. Isn't on one of those boats in Long Beach Harbor.
I don't understand how it's even remotely supposed to be racist. I'm sorry, I just don't. There's Asian food. Or is he saying that the food that is from Asia might be held up in Long Beach because he's making a joke about the shipping supply crisis? It seems like not an anti-Asian joke. It seems more like he's eating the Asian. It seems like he's mainly criticizing the port of Long Beach in that joke. The entire media goes, oh, my God, he's a racist. He's a racist. He's a brutal, terrible racist. I mean, how dare he? I noticed that yesterday Joe Biden called someone a Negro. Like, that's an actual thing that Joe Biden did yesterday. Now, he did it by accident, but I can just promise you that if a Republican or if this judge had used the kind of language that Joe Biden used yesterday, then the media would be going insane. I have a question. What's worse, just on sort of a pure level, just a pure kind of like root racist level, a judge saying, I hope that Asian food gets delivered today because there's a shipping crisis in L.A., or the president of the United States describing Satchel Paige as a Negro by accident? Which is worse? Here's Joe Biden doing that yesterday.
You know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros, into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
Okay, so what's funny, like, listen, I'll give Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt there. I mean, I don't even think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think pretty clearly Joe Biden just loses his train of thought, and what he meant to say is that great pitcher in the Negro Leagues. Right? By the way, by federal law, you're not allowed to use the word Negro in legislation, for example. So that's not a great look there for Joe Biden, but these guys are approximately the same age, right? Joe Biden is 78 years old. The judge in this particular case, Bruce Schrader, I believe that I know he's up there as well. He's been practicing for like 50 years, and he's 75. And he's about the same age as Joe Biden. But the idea is that he is a racist, and Joe Biden is not a racist. And the answer is because Joe Biden is a leftist, and this judge is not giving the left what it wants in this particular case. Then something even worse happened to the judge, demonstrating that he's a super duper giant racist who's horrible and racist. During the middle of the trial, his cell phone rang. His ringtone, that racist anthem directly from the slaveholding South, God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood.
If the court makes a finding that the actions that I had talked about were done in bad faith.
Okay, and the media were like, oh my God, he's got God Bless the USA on his phone. That probably means he's, please guys, keep going down this path. Seriously, I would love for you to keep going down the path where if anybody likes God Bless the USA, this means they shouldn't be a judge and they're racist. Really, just go full anti-American. Seriously. God Bless the USA. Wow, how dare he? How dare he? But this is exactly what you get. You get Eli Mistal over on MSNBC saying, clearly, this is a racist, biased judge.
We have as a judge who, from my perspective, has prejudged the trial in favor of Rittenhouse and has decided, again, even at the pretrial stage, to use every bit of his power to put his thumb on the scale towards Rittenhouse's side. That's what Schrader is. He has made a series of decisions. Each one perhaps may be individually defensible, but in totality lead to the impression of a biased, racist judge with his Trump rally cell phone that is trying to get Rittenhouse a walk.
Okay, my favorite thing there is where he says that each one of the decisions the judge is making is defensible, but in totality he's a giant racist who loves Trump. Interesting take. Interesting take. Then you get Maya Wiley, the rejected candidate for mayor of New York, who says, yeah, the Rittenhouse trial judge, he seems predisposed to the defense. Oh, is that what's happening here? Or is it possible that maybe the defense just has a better case?
This judge, you know, from the outside looking in, and I haven't been inside that courtroom, but certainly seems to be predisposed in some ways to the defense. And his level of anger and response in some instances, allowing the defense to use words like mobs and rioters when the prosecution cannot use words like victims, you know, for the people who are killed and harmed in this case. Those are the kinds of things. It's not a balanced approach.
Okay, I have a question. It's not a right. It's not a balanced approach. You can't call them victims because the entire case is about whether they're victims. The question as to whether it was self-defense or not is not about whether they were rioters. It could be not self-defense if they were rioters, right? If he had just gone out there with his AR and he just started shooting rioters in the street, it wouldn't matter if they're rioters or not. It could be both rioters and victims. These are not mutually exclusive. But apparently, if you in order to be not racist or something, you have to say that these rioters were not rioters, and also you have to say that they were victims. That is the definition of prejudging the case. And finally, we have Bree Newsom Bass, who is an anti-racism activist, Bree Newsom. And she, of course, says that the judge is predisposed toward not just the defense, toward white supremacy.
So we know that, I mean, even apart from the long history of collaboration between police forces, white supremacist organizations, and white militias, we have a very recent history of this as well. We've had situations where police kill someone, there is protesting, and then in addition to the police presence in the street, which is a problem, we have white militia groups showing up, white supremacist organizations showing up. The history of judges who are sympathetic to white supremacists has a very long history as well.
Oh, so the judge is a white supremacist now. My favorite part of that is where she just sort of slips in that the cops being in the community is bad. So we can't have cops defending the community, and you can't have citizens defending the community. So everybody's just supposed to burn it down. Now on to the Arbery case. So the amount of attention being paid to the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, or the alleged murder of Ahmaud Arbery, is wildly disproportionate to the amount of attention that's being paid to the Rittenhouse trial, which is quite fascinating. Now, I've, as I always do, withheld judgment on this case until I see the full evidence. So here's what we know about the Arbery case. And it really shouldn't be called the Arbery case. It really, typically, because the Rittenhouse trial is named after the person who's being tried, or the Chauvin trial is being named after the defendant, Derek Chauvin. In this case, the real issue, the trial really should be named after the people who are being prosecuted in this particular case. But here is what the New York Times says. The graphic footage of the killing of Ahmaud Arbery is not the only crucial video evidence in the trial of the three men accused of murdering him. On Thursday, a jury in Brunswick, Georgia, was shown surveillance camera footage that depicts Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, making several visits to the same partially constructed home at 220 Satia Drive in the months before he died. In each instance, Mr. Arbery, an avid jogger, is in shorts. He looks around the house and leaves. The last video, recorded in the early afternoon of February 23, 2020, shows Arbery visiting the home minutes before he was chased by the three white defendants who have said they suspected him of a series of break-ins in the neighborhood. That chase ended with Arbery being fatally shot by one of the men in the middle of a nearby suburban street. Jurors on Thursday were also shown a videotaped deposition of the home's owner, Larry English. He described his concerns about the man who kept showing up in the house he was building and the items he suspected had been stolen from him. He described his calls to the police, alerting them to the man's presence. He said he had texted his concerns about the man, as well as two other trespassers, to a neighbor in the Satia Shores subdivision, which defense lawyers said was on the edge over a wave of property crime. The videos and Mr. English's response to them are likely to be central to the case of whether the defendants had a legal right to chase Arbery. So what happened in this particular case is that the people in the nearby area got a call that Arbery was hanging out at this house. Again, it was a construction site, and apparently some stuff had been stolen from the house in the past. And he took off running down the street. They chased him in the car, as I mentioned. They were in a couple of trucks. They tried to run him off the road. Then they tried to roadblock him. He tried to run around the roadblock. One of the people was holding a shotgun, and actually a couple of people were holding guns. And he went for the gun of one of the guys who was blocking the road, and in the struggle over the gun, that guy shot him. Okay, so the question is whether that is self-defense or not. And that really relies not on the action in the moment. It relies on whether they were justified in trying to arrest him in the first place, if they were trying to arrest him, or whether they were justified in roadblocking him in the first place. Okay, so that is a secondary legal issue. Okay, the primary legal issue here is whether they were justified. Because once there's a struggle over the gun and then somebody shoots somebody else, a self-defense claim comes into play. The question is whether you are allowed to be out there in the first place in this particular case. And when I say out there, I mean like actually trying to stop somebody from running away. Mr. English, a general contractor who lives in Douglas, Georgia, about 90 minutes from Brunswick, suffers from serious health issues. He did not give his testimony in person. During his deposition, English described the numerous times that video of Arbery appeared on security cameras around the property. The footage was sent to his cell phone. In some cases, he called the Glynn County Police Department asking that an officer go to the house to check things out. Although English was concerned about the theft, the videos never showed Arbery taking anything from the property. At one point, English was monitoring the situation from afar, exchanged text messages with a man named Diego Perez, who lived near the house. English sent Perez video footage of Arbery on the property, as well as footage of another man and woman who were detected at the house one night. Notably, English says he never shared directly with the three defendants his concerns that Arbery had been on his property. In fact, he barely knew two of the defendants, Travis McMichael, the man who shot Arbery, or his father, Gregory McMichael, whom he said he had met only briefly. He said he had never met the third defendant, William Bryan. Linda Dinikowski, the lead prosecutor, may use such details to buttress her argument that the defendants rushed into action based on flawed assumptions and driveway decisions, but without immediate knowledge that a crime had occurred. Dinikowski's language echoes that found in what was Georgia's citizen's arrest law at the time, which stated that a private person could arrest someone if an offense was committed in their presence or within their immediate knowledge. In opening statements for the defense, Robert Rubin, a lawyer for Travis McMichael, brought attention to another aspect of the law, which stated that if someone believed that another person had committed a felony, and if that person was escaping or trying to escape, it was legal to try to arrest the fleeing person if the pursuer harbored reasonable and probable grounds of suspicion. Rubin contends that English allowed suspicion to spread in the neighborhood by sharing the videos of Arbery's unauthorized entries with Perez and the police, and by letting it be known that some property had in fact been stolen from his boat. Rubin said of the defendants, "We're not contending a crime was committed in their presence, but there was probable cause to believe a felony had been committed, and this man was attempting to escape or flee." Okay, so this is the key legal issue at this time. Each of the defendants in the case has been indicted on 9 counts, including malice murder, which involves showing that a killing was carried out with an abandoned and malignant heart. Apparently, prosecutors were laying the groundwork for that charge by eliciting testimony from police officers that showed some of the harsh language Gregory McMichael used to describe Arbery shortly after he was killed, including referring to him with a vulgar insult. Niyama Rahmani, a former federal prosecutor, pointed out that the men were also charged with felony murder, which applies when a death is caused in the course of committing another felony, irrespective of malice. Also, they are claiming that this is false imprisonment. So in other words, if they didn't have probable cause to stop the guy, then they couldn't actually stop the guy. So this is, you know, a case that should theoretically been, should be like front page news, right? Because it does tend to at least fit the narrative or raise the issues that the left likes to talk about a lot. A racial profiling. There's a difference in race between the men who shot Arbery and Arbery. And this has become a pretty racially fraught trial right from the get-go. Al Sharpton showed up at the trial. Benjamin Crump, who lies about the situations of a wide variety of these situations, showed up in the courtroom as well. And the defense attorney asked if Sharpton could be removed from the room. At the very least, he said we shouldn't have activists in the room at all, but he used some pretty fired up language about it that is going to be very controversial.
Obviously, there's only so many pastors they can have. And if their pastor's Al Sharpton right now, that's fine. But then that's it. We don't want any more black pastors coming in here or other Jesse Jackson, whoever was in here earlier this week, sitting with the victim's family trying to influence a jury in this case. I think the court can understand my concern about bringing people in who really don't have any ties to this case other than political interests.
Okay, so this became very controversial because he said black pastors. The case he's actually making here is that the pastors who are showing up are not actual family pastors. They're just very, very famous people who are showing up to sit with the family in order to intimidate the jury. And so we'll see if the media starts to catch on to this trial at all. But here's the thing. Most people are withholding judgment. In the Rittenhouse case, a lot of people weren't because the tape was out there and because the circumstances were fairly clear from the get-go. This one has not polarized along political lines, sort of like the Walter Scott case, right? People are sort of waiting to see what happens in the testimonies. The left can't use it. The left only likes picking cases where they're actually fairly often in the wrong. They like those cases because those cases demonstrate your fealty. That's what that's about. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to a little bit of foreign policy. So what would you say if I told you that a bunch of terrorists just stormed a U.S. embassy and no one cared? Because that actually is what's happening. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is.
And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's always fun in games when terrorists storm a U.S. embassy and nobody apparently cares. It's fascinating how things that if they'd happened under the Trump administration would be front page news for months. They last for a little while and then they're gone. So as you know, Afghanistan is still a thing that is happening. There are still Americans stuck in Afghanistan. There are still tens of thousands of SIV holders in Afghanistan. And the place is a hellhole backwater. Probably millions of people will starve to death over the course of the next couple of years. So things are great there. Also, Houthi rebels have now stormed the American embassy in Yemen and taken hostages, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Now, you've seen this reported pretty much nowhere, because apparently we're not supposed to care. The Houthi rebels are a gang of Shia militiamen who are backed by the Iranian government. They are terrorists. The Biden administration, because it was trying to make nice with the Iranians, came into office and took them off the terror list. They now took over the American embassy in Yemen, and now they've taken hostages. According to the State Department, the majority of the detained have been released, but the Houthis continue to detain additional Yemeni employees of the embassy. This is one of the ways that Islamic terror groups tend to target American allies. They'll say, oh, well, the Americans, they can go. But if you work with the Americans, we are going to shoot you and we are going to shoot your families. If you think that has no impact on American interests, I don't know what you are smoking. Houthi fighters reportedly took the compound on Wednesday, demanding large quantities of equipment and materials for the Middle East Media Research Institute. Yemen has been embroiled in a brutal civil war between the Houthi rebels, who are backed by the Iranians, and the standing Yemeni government, which has the support of Saudi Arabia. As you remember, Joe Biden removed the foreign terrorist organization designation placed on the Houthis by the Trump administration. The designation had cut the Houthis off from financial support. And Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, called the decision a recognition of the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen. That meant that people could start supporting the Houthis again. They promptly have taken over the American embassy in Yemen. So that apparently is not worthy of coverage at this point, because obviously everything Biden does is great. And speaking of foreign policy and history, I just have to make a quick side point here. So Nicole Hannah-Jones, who teaches history to your children via the 1619 Project, which has now been mainlined into hundreds of institutions across the United States, backed by the New York Times, backed by school boards across the country, the 1619 Project is a pack of lies about how every institution in the United States was founded in sin and slavery and thus must be torn to the ground. It's incredible that this woman is considered some sort of historian when she doesn't know anything. She is just an idiot. I'm sorry, she doesn't know things, like basic things. So yesterday, for example, she had tweeted out about the dropping of the A-bomb, and she suggested that the dropping of the A-bomb was deeply wrong, and you should be ashamed of America for the dropping of the A-bomb. Okay, now that's a fairly common perspective on the left, is that the dropping of the A-bomb was bad. In my personal opinion, the dropping of the A-bomb was necessary because if it had not happened, the Japanese government was not going to surrender. They were going to make their final stand on the island of Japan proper, and that would have cost the lives of maybe a million Americans. It was going to be very, very ugly. By internal documentation inside the Japanese imperial regime at the time, they had no intention of actually surrendering until the A-bomb was dropped, at which point their calculus changed pretty damn quickly. Okay, but even the people who make the argument that the United States should not have dropped the A-bomb basically make the following two arguments. One, that the United States wouldn't have had to do that, that Japan would have surrendered anyway. And that, two, the real reason that the United States dropped the A-bomb was not because they wanted to get Japan to surrender, but because they wanted to intimidate the Soviets. Because they knew that the Soviets were very aggressive, and they were pushing very hard in Southeast Asia. And so in order to try and deter the Soviets from getting aggressive at the end of World War II, we dropped the A-bomb on Japan, right? That is the revisionist historian take. It's not really supported by the evidence, but that's at least what the take is. Okay, Nicole Hannah-Jones is such an idiot that she doesn't even know what the take is. So she tweeted out yesterday, "You're the one who poorly understands history. They dropped the bomb when they knew surrender was coming because they'd spent all this money developing it and to prove it was worth it. Propaganda is not history, my friend." Okay, first of all, propaganda is not history coming from Nicole Hannah-Jones is just the funniest thing in the entire world because all she does all day is create propaganda that is not history. But what's even more incredible is that she is actually making the argument. I can't wait to see the footnotes on this. The argument that the reason the United States dropped the A-bomb was to prove that it was money well spent. Yes, that's right. We eviscerated 50,000 people just to prove that we hadn't wasted money on Robert Oppenheimer. Solid take there, Nicole Hannah-Jones. This woman is teaching your kids history. That's exactly what, first of all, we know the federal government is meticulous about ensuring that you know your dollars are well spent. Second of all, when we have to ensure the dollars are well spent, we just bomb people. We just drop nuclear weapons on folks. What an idiot she is. I mean, truly a full-scale moron. And the fact that so many people treat her as an intellectual is beyond me. Between her and Ibram X. Kendi, the man, the combined wattage from that IQ pair might be able to toast a piece of bread lightly, like very lightly. Like, wouldn't be even hot enough to melt the butter. Wow. Geniuses. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Gulf nation of Qatar has agreed to represent the United States in Afghanistan.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. will have a protecting power.
Qatar will establish a U.S. intersection within its embassy in Afghanistan to provide certain consular services.
The American embassy in Kabul is closed, and this is a sign there is no intention to reopen it soon. All U.S. forces got out of Afghanistan in August. What about the Americans who are still in Afghanistan?
All U.S. citizens who have requested assistance from the United States government to depart Afghanistan and who have we have identified as prepared to depart and having the necessary travel documents have been offered an opportunity to do so.
An agreement signed with Blinken's counterpart formalizes Qatar's role as a main transit hub for evacuees. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, a federal court has declined to lift the stay on the Biden administration's vaccine mandate. Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans had granted an emergency stay last Saturday of the requirement by OSHA that those workers be vaccinated by the 4th of January. Government lawyers filed a response Monday saying that by stopping the mandate from taking effect, it would only prolong the pandemic and take the lives of many people. The appeals court, though, rejected that argument earlier Friday. So much for that Social Security raise. Medicare's Part B outpatient premium will jump $21.60 a month next year. Officials say the new Alzheimer's drug responsible for about half of that. Increase guarantees that health care costs will gobble up a big chunk of the recently announced cost of living allowance. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. He's pushed for a massive tax increase, and his $2 trillion infrastructure plan is a $2 trillion tax hike on American employers. Job Creators Network works hard to fight these attacks, and they're looking for a few good men and women to join their Small Business Advocacy and Advisor Program. They will prepare you to be a leader for small businesses in your community, your state, and the country you love. If you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com now. That's joinjcn. They need you. America needs you.
Automakers pumping the brakes on December TV spots.
With Thanksgiving less than 2 weeks away, normally carmakers would be rolling out their December to Remember advertising campaigns on television. Not this year. Supply chain disruptions are forcing most discounts and promotional offers to melt away. Lexus is up on some networks, but GM and Ford say the supply chain disruptions are causing them to hold back. Ken Lorman reporting.
Auto safety regulators looking into a complaint from a Tesla driver. The company's full self-driving software caused an accident. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the driver was beta testing the full self-driving software, and the Tesla SUV suddenly went into the wrong lane and was hit by another vehicle. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. In Michigan, a lawsuit over water.
The lawsuit was filed in federal court over high levels of lead in Benton Harbor's drinking water. It accuses the state and city of deliberate indifference in their response to the problem, which began to emerge in 2018. Doretha Brazil, one of the many Benton Harbor residents in the lawsuit, says she only recently became aware that she should avoid drinking the water. Michigan has been supplying free bottled water for weeks and is pledging to help Benton Harbor replace lead service lines outside homes. John Scott reporting.
Labor Department says 4.4 million people quit their jobs in September, or about 3% of the nation's workforce. That's up from 4.3 million in August and far above the pre-pandemic level of 3.6 million. Wall Street, Friday, the Dow gained 179 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
By the way, you all write for a living. I haven't seen any one of you explain supply chain very well. No, I'm not being critical. I'm being deadly earnest. When your editor says, explain the supply chain, okay? Lots of luck in your senior year, as my coach used to say. But I sincerely mean it. This is a confusing time.
What he's saying is he doesn't understand the supply chain. I think that's plain fraud.
Pundits think about this case. Oh, what about the people on the right who are making Kyle Rittenhouse out to be a choir boy?
Yes, the race analysis. And What if Queen Elizabeth could fly during World War II? Another interesting query. Can you say query? Is that okay? Is that... Got to constantly update, you know. There it is, the racist media with their racist analysis because they're racists. Kyle Rittenhouse and the Democrat Party lynch mob. Boy, are they a lynch mob. And they're a racist lynch mob. You know, the Democrat Party is the party of lynching, racist lynching in this country. Everybody knows that, right? And now they're just as racist and just as much a lynch mob as they ever were. Honestly, they should be walking around with bull whips and ropes, these people. Just like their granddaddies did. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. Off to a little bit of a course start there. What with the the media and Kyle Rittenhouse. They love the child rapist. And by the way, the people that he shot, all three of them are white. White, white, white is the color of our carpet. And sorry, producer's reference. I'm still stuck on Mel Brooks stuff. And remarkable things going on. Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. What's going on there? We got music going in the studio here. Turn that music off. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. It is a crazy time out there. Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse says the left will not be satisfied, and they're threatening violence. Now, I mentioned yesterday. And the left is threatening violence in New York if you start enforcing the law against criminals. If the police were to go after criminals, then violence will, and blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knees. That's Hawk Newsom of Black Lives Matter. The opposite is true when it comes to Hawk Newsom. You see, this guy is a giant thug. He's what, he like 6'6", 250 pounds of thug. And he's pro-criminal, anti-police, anti-civilization, anti-civility. Threatening the city of New York, because that's today's Democrat Party. They're unhinged. They're violently and criminally insane. The party is, and if you're a member of the Democrat Party, you should know that you're part of a vast criminal enterprise. I don't think there is any ambiguity about that, is there? Remarkable stuff. So we've got a lot to get to. In addition, we just started off with a Kyle Rittenhouse soundbite there, but we've got Joe Biden with his boy, you know, Krusty the Clown over here. What century is it? He's off talking about the Negroes again. Joe Biden is, but the media smoothed it over for him. Oh no, he didn't say that. Yeah, he did. Here's the video. No, but you have to understand that he was trying to say something different, and now, you know, you're just pointing out what he actually said instead of what he theoretically possibly might have meant to say, and the media is going with what he theoretically possibly might have meant to say, and that is not that Satchel Paige was a Negro. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is Joe Biden of the crime bill that put all the black people in jail. Joe Biden of the... It also, you know, put people in jail for crack cocaine, but not powdered cocaine, while his son was at home railing up powdered cocaine by the bucket. He's like Tony Montana on his father's desk, chopping out lines with the side of his hand. Everybody knows that reference, right? I mean, that's a, and you know, his son doesn't go to prison, but African Americans do. And he's also the guy who didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle. You know, the racial jungle, Joe Biden, remember that, because, and of course, Corn Pop. And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he sharpened his razor on the curb and things like that. Joe Biden has quite a history when it comes to this sort of thing. And so does the Democratic Party. And it continues to this day, well into the 20th century now, more than one-fifth the way through the 21st century, more than one-fifth the way through the 21st century. And Joe Biden is still Satchel Paige, one of the old Negroes. And also he also apparently thinks that they were called the Negro Leagues, the baseball leagues, way back when. And they were professional baseball league and professional baseball teams and professional baseball players playing professional baseball in professional baseball stadiums. And Joe Biden seems to be unaware of that, too. Thought maybe it was amateur or just sandlot league, people having fun with their friends or something like that. Yeah, but the people at Mediaite, the headline is this: no, comma, Joe Biden did not refer to Satchel Paige as a Negro
in speech. And it, as Negro, it said just as Negro, not even as a Negro, but just as Negro. So Biden refers to famous pitcher as great Negro. Obama signed law banning government from using the word Negro. The Democrat Party is just keeps supplying the world with craziness to beat the band. The White House is looking to bring Terry McAuliffe in. You know, now that he's lost the gubernatorial race, they think he's a hero. They love losers like Stacey Abrams and Terry McAuliffe and Hillary Clinton. She's the biggest loser of them all. You know, there's that TV show, The Biggest Loser. She should be the host, shouldn't she? Is that still on the television? Now, we should bring it back just to give Hillary something to do so she doesn't wake up every day in a pool of her own dried vomit on her kitchen floor, laying next to an empty cardboard box of cheap New Zealand Chardonnay. Hunter Biden is in the news again. He has fled New York City because a gallery canceled their plan to let the public see his wonderful, beautiful paintings. You know, he's a very famous artist, you know.
I'm Picasso!
He's the greatest artist of the 21st century, at least so far. Just look at the dollar figures that his great works of art are going for.
Yeah, well, that comes easy to me. I'm Picasso!
That's right. He's one of the greatest artists in the history of the world. Not since the Renaissance have we been blessed with an artist with the talent and the magnificence of crackhead Russian hooker dater Hunter Biden.
Hey, I'm Picasso. There's only one.
Also, by the way, Build Back Better. What I heard somebody today, who was it? Might have been Laura Trump say, "I'm still waiting for the better. Where's the better? Where's the better part?" But his Build Back Better plan, here's just a couple of fun facts to share with your Democrat friends. Oh, I was in my building yesterday. I'm going to digress here, aren't I? I was in my building yesterday. I live in a building. You know, it's a big building. A lot of people live in there. And it's not a hospital, but it's a big building with residents. And I was in my lobby, and a nice lady was checking the mail. And she's the nice lady's in her 70s. She's a neighbor of mine. And I like her very much. She's wonderful. She's a big lib. And also in my building, in the lobby at the same time, a couple of people that fled and escaped communism, right? And friends who, and all three of my, would call my friends, I don't choose people based on their politics, just whether they're crazy or not. But the two people that fled communism in my building came up to me, and they're talking about this woman that Biden has picked to be the controller of the currency at, and she went to college in the Soviet Union because she's a Soviet on the Lenin scholarship, and she's anti-capitalist, and that's why today's Democrat Party is putting her in control of the currency of the United States of America, because they're not on our side, and they're not on capitalism's side. They're not on the side of the law enforcement or law and order or civility or civilization, really, at this point. But in any case, I digress inside my digression. And my friends who are saying, yeah, this woman is a communist, and my neighbor lady, who's very nice, and I like her, but she's a liberal. You know, God bless her. Bless her heart. And she said, well, what I'm really worried about is our government being infiltrated by right-wingers. And I had to pause for a second. I didn't respond. I don't, it's like a busman's holiday. I don't go around getting in political arguments in my lobby. And, the government being infiltrated by right-wingers, because that's a big problem, big threat to democracy. I was reading the paper today, the Washington Post, to get the papers. And there was a Democrat who's leaving Congress now after this term, talking about and the Washington Post talking about the threats to our democracy. Because, you know, January 6th, forget the hundreds of riots and the attacks on courthouses and police stations, and never mind the Democrat serial killer violence across the country, but never mind that. So in any event, madness, this is and it's because, you know, she watches MSDNC and she reads the Washington Post. And so, right wingers are a big threat to America, and there are white supremacists everywhere. It's remarkable. It really is. So, yeah, Hunter Biden leaving New York City. I'm sure New York City is very disappointed. Because what, did they run out of crack? What happened? He's got to go to California or something. Hunter Biden leaves New York City as gallery cancels plan to let the public see his paintings. Well, the public was clamoring to see his paintings. He spits the paint out of a straw. You should know that, right? And that's That's the thing. He's got a lot of, almost all of his activities involve straws. You know, that are glass tubes that you can hold over a flame, an open flame. But never mind that. And they want McAuliffe, just amazing. How about the Biden's Build Back Better plan will raise taxes, listen to this now, on 30% of the middle class. 30% of middle class families will get a, but remember, nobody under 400,000. I pointed out at that time that he was lying. Remember then? And here it is right here. The Build Back Better, and it's a nonpartisan analysis by an economic group. 30% of middle-class families will enjoy a tax increase. No, really, enjoy it, because you're getting, you know, and it's Joe Biden was, day before yesterday, at the port in Baltimore, was saying, just thank me. He was like, thank me. Your pay is going up. You know, not nearly as fast as inflation, but never mind that, because, you know, wealthy Americans get a tax cut 10 times bigger than middle-class families in Biden's social spending bill. So the rich get richer. They get a bigger tax cut. The taxes go up on at least 30% of the middle class. Then there's inflation and gas prices and natural gas prices and heating your home prices and, you know, keeping grandma warm at home prices and stuff. And also the other story, and I'll get to this stuff. Dems just snuck a tax cut for the rich into Build Back Better plan. Gosh, I got to tell you. And also, I love the racists here at MSNBC. Back to the racists for a moment. The white racists, black racists, they're all racists at MSNBC. I think MSNBC has got to be the most racist channel on cable. Unless there's an actual cable channel dedicated to being racist on purpose out in the open, I think it's got to be. They have all these horrible racist people, and they give them shows, and they pay them millions of dollars a year. You know that Rachel Maddow, they're paying Rachel Maddow $30 million a year, and nobody watches her show. And I, did I mention this yesterday? I mentioned, I might have had it mentioned in a conversation yesterday, but $30 million a year. And the reason is that she is their brand, right? Without her, they're the network of Al Sharpton and Joy Reid, who are two horrible racists, just horrible, horrible racists. See, Al Sharpton is sitting in with the family in that trial in Atlanta, Georgia, or outside of Atlanta, Georgia. You see it? Al Sharpton's sitting in on the trial there. It's like Frankie Five Angel's older brother in The Godfather flown in from Sicily just to sit in the congressional hearing when Frankie Pentangeli was testifying before the Committee on Organized Crime. This is the left. The left is here, and they are on fire, and so are our cities a great deal of the time, thanks to the left. But I don't know if you heard about that. There was a riot at the Capitol on January 6th, and everybody in the country has been indicted. And then you got to prove yourself innocent, which is the new standard, because the left is here. But the racists at MSDNC, here's their headline. Kyle Rittenhouse's white crocodile tears hold value in America, right? Now, imagine if, let's say, Fox News, just use Fox News. Let's say Fox News had a headline saying, you know, I don't know who was, you know, Joy Reid's black crocodile tears. That would obviously be the most racist thing in the world, right? Her black crocodile tears, because she shot and killed psychotic child rapists that were attacking her in a street riot. Speaking of, did you see the judge? And it was the prosecutor saying that the video of the rioters, apparently he thinks, put the rioters in a negative light. It placed a negative light on the rioters. Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, Rittenhouse prosecutors shocked that journalists would inject personal opinion into a story. He's apparently been living in a hole for a long time now. I got a lot on the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. Also, New York City Black Lives Matter radical threatening bloodshed in, I was talking about it yesterday, radicals in Kenosha threatening bloodshed in Kenosha. They're all Democrats, by the way. All these violent criminals threatening mob violence, burning our cities again. And, of course, Subway tuna contains chicken, pork, and cattle. Cattle, not beef, but cattle. That's got that coming up, too. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
New at Banana Republic Factory. 50 to 70% off everything, including fall favorites. Cozy up with soft layers, wear everywhere outerwear, and more from $14.99. Find your nearest store or shop online. Only at Banana Republic Factory.
Make your dream a reality. Build wealth for what matters to you. You can buy your dream home. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Give your child a great education. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Save for retirement. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. It's easy. GetInvestmentAdvice.com can help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can assist you in managing your money to build a better future. Visit GetInvestmentAdvice.com to get started today. That's GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC. GetInvestmentAdvice.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, how smart is your water? Here's Tracy.
Hey Culligan, I think my water might be dumb.
Good news, Tracy. Your water's not dumb, it's just not talking to you.
You can make my water talk.
No, but the new Culligan Smart Drinking Water System can talk to your phone to tell you when your water filters need changing and help you meet drinking water goals.
Now that's some brilliant H2O.
You said it, Tracy, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget. Guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
Napa know-how.
Right now, a 5-quart jug of Napa full synthetic motor oil is only $19.99. It's the hottest deal of the year for the coldest time of the year. So if you're in your car right now, there's no need to turn on the heat. I'm about to read this sizzler again. That's Napa full synthetic for a hot $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating locations, does not include taxes and fees. Advertised sale price not available in some states. Offer ends 12/31/21.
New at Banana Republic Factory. 50 to 70% off everything, including fall favorites. Cozy up with soft layers, wear everywhere outerwear, and more from $14.99. Find your nearest store or shop online. Only at Banana Republic Factory.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Maybe this is you too. A lot of people do not like their health plan right now, and they're worried they're stuck with it. One that costs too much or doesn't meet their needs, or for whatever reason, they're just not happy with it. If that is you, some great news. There really is another choice. It's called MediShare, and it's such a great option, especially if you're self-employed, changing jobs, or part of the gig economy. Here's what you get when you switch to MediShare. First, huge savings. The typical family saves $500 a month. You also get a massive doctor network. You can just use the doctor of your choice, or MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. And you get to be part of something you can believe in. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. No wonder MediShare gets double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So no, you are not stuck. You've got a great alternative. Call now. 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss. Call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Yeah, I remember Joe Biden saying nobody under 400,000 pay a penny more. He was lying. You know, lying. Yeah, so I gotta get to that. And a lot of other stuff. Democrat violence is very much in vogue, and it's okay with the media because they're Democrats too, and they like violence perpetrated against, you know, people who aren't their people, like the child rapist, that's one of their people, and the spousal abuser, that's one of their people. You know, they're on the side of the criminals and not law enforcement or people that enjoy civilization and living in it. That said, let's go to the telephones. I'm going to get lots of good stuff. Lickety split, as Chaz Bono likes to say. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Dean calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Dino Bonino, the calling machino. You're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Mr. Planet.
Hey there. How are you?
It's a Chris Planet.
That's me.
I was just told I really don't keep up too much with the news, but Black Lives Plaza has become permanent.
Yeah, in D.C., yeah, in front of the White House.
And I'm wondering, is that going to be a commercial enterprise like the Cap Center, or are they going to pay taxes? Are they going to pay for the upkeep? Because I understand Black Lives Matter is a private corporation now.
Oh, that's a very good point. That is an excellent point. Thank you very much. And that hadn't even occurred to me. Yeah, 16th Street.
Have we ceded federal property to these people? And, you know, can I get a block or two in my name? And,
That is a very interesting thought, Dean. I like that. You know, you may remember all the violence outside. It's to commemorate days of, it's like the anti-Woodstock, days of extreme violence. You know, more than 150 police officers injured. St. John's Church set on fire by violent mobs of left-wing criminals. The Church of the Presidents. They stockpiled bricks and frozen water bottles and explosives.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Are you 45 or older? Then listen up. The time is now to get yourself screened for colon cancer. The time is now to take control. Listen, this disease can be very treatable when caught early, so the sooner you know what's up with your health, the better. The good news is that there are options for getting screened that are easier than you think. Get informed. Hey, we're all busy, and we think, I'll make time later. Well, make time now. It just might mean more time with your family down the road. If you're a man or a woman, 45 or older, I'm talking to you. Many of us have lost friends, young friends, to colon cancer. Don't make the mistake of waiting until you have symptoms or think that you have no risk because it doesn't run in your family. Everybody needs to be screened. So, take control. Get screened for colon cancer, 45 or older. Learn how at standuptocancer.org/colon cancer.
Furnished by Stand Up To Cancer. paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Do your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pet's diet.
We started Dinovite and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that help support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which baits out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Dinovite.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Taxman. Yeah, Rachel, we were just talking about Rachel Maddow during the... CNN offered Rachel Maddow $20 million to not go on CNN. They offered her $20 million to be on the internet for CNN. And MSDNC said, boy, if she leaves, we'll have nobody but Al Sharpton and Joy Reid. And Morning Joke, those two dunderheads there. Nobody watches that. You know, the entire viewership of Morning Joke can be contained in two New York City blocks on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Amazing. You know, there's only one person. Rachel Maddow doesn't get ratings or anything. $30 million a year. It's not like that spread out or something. That's a year. There's only one person we know really watched her show, and that was James Hodgkinson. And he, of course, was shot to death by the police on a baseball field. That was her most devoted viewer. But he is dead now because the police had to shoot him to death because he had that SKS rifle and was trying to murder the entire Republican Congressional Caucus. It's a noteworthy viewer, though. You've got to admit. All right, back to Joe Biden and his big Build Back Better plan. It's not building back and it's not better. Other than that, it's an excellent Build Back Better plan. The New York Post has the story because they actually report the news, unlike the Washington Post and the New York Times. Biden's Build Back Better plan will hike taxes on 30% of middle-class families. I went through my Washington Post today. I didn't see this story. What do you think? I wonder why that is. President Joe Biden's Build Back Better agenda would raise taxes on up to 30% of middle-class families, despite his campaign promises, not to hike taxes on anyone making under $400,000 per year. He was quite emphatic about this, too. He was, you know, he wanted to convince us that this was true. And, hey, wait, I think there's a way. And he was quite emphatic. Let me try this again. Quite emphatic about this and wanted to convince us that that was true.
Nobody making less than $400,000 will pay a penny more in tax under my proposal.
That's a promise.
That's a guarantee, a promise. I give you my word as a Biden. That's an absolute guarantee.
That's his word as a Biden. I remember Hunter Biden gave his word to that stripper on K Street, and then he knocked her up, and then he claimed the paternity was not his, and then the DNA test proved otherwise. And then, you know, of course, the Russian gangsters with the, and then, you know, the laptop. And so his word is a Biden, you know, his word is a Biden. And, he didn't want his kids going to school in that racial jungle. And, you know, his word is a Biden. That's your word is a Hunter Biden. Because I think Hunter Biden still has, debts to crack and meth dealers and hookers and Russians. But he's making a lot of money off of his excellent art. So here it is. Taking into account all major tax provisions, roughly 20 to 30% of middle-income households would pay more in taxes in 2022. That's just next year. An analysis published late Thursday by the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center found. However, the report highlighted the tax increases would be, quote, small. Among those with tax increases, low and middle income households would pay an additional $100 or less on average. Those making $200,000 to $500,000 would pay an average of about $230 or more. See, this is, he claims it's going to pay for itself. It's not going to pay for itself. It's going to pile up debt, and the kids are going to live in squalor. The grandkids are going to live in cardboard boxes, probably go back to caves, no electricity. We're going to be like the Taliban. We're already starting to smell worse as a nation. Have you noticed that? It's Democrats. I mean, let's be fair. It's not everybody. Over time, though, that tax burden will change, according to the analysis of the $1.75 trillion proposal currently before the House of Representatives. That Pelosi, she's something, isn't she? What did she say? Oh, she used the word justice three times in one sentence yesterday. She was in Scotland talking about the weather, so naturally justice is a big part of it. In 2023, the proposed expansion of the child tax credit payments would end up, would end, and the corporate minimum tax on book income, which is one of the largest proposed tax hikes in the bill. So the Tax Policy Center said it would hit families indirectly by limiting companies' return to shareholders, which would include workers, we used to call those employees before we became the Soviet stinking union, and those investing for retirement. Oh, you stupid investing for retirement people. What's the matter with you? You think capitalism is going to exist by the time you retire? The Democrat Party's working on making sure that's not true. In general, the combined effects of these changes would result in many households paying higher taxes in 2023 than in 2022, and it would already go up slightly in 2022. They would shrink the average 2023 tax cuts for low-income households, raise taxes slightly for moderate-income households, and increase taxes significantly for the highest-income households, the Tax Policy Center said. Okay. Meanwhile, another part of the proposal, the giant bill that nobody's read, certainly not the media, and it hasn't been scored by the Congressional Budget Office, so we still can't even say whether any honest arbiter, if you can call the Congressional Budget Office the honest arbiter, it hasn't been analyzed to see whether these projections or prognostications are actually correct. And you can depend on politicians writing these things to, you know, make sure that they're not correct, because they're selling it to us. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. So in general, the combined effects of these changes would result in many households paying higher taxes next year and the year after. You know, this is no problem with the news media. Meanwhile, another part of the proposal that would increase the deduction limit on state and local taxes, popularly known as SALT deductions, would benefit wealthy families in high-tax states like New York and California. You see, the hardcore Democrat states, they pay a lot in state taxes, and Maryland is one of those, too. And so the Democrats in Washington have written in provisions that will help offset that in hardcore Democrat states. So they're taking care of their own because they have power, and in the Democrat to English dictionary, power is a something to be abused by us. See, that's the thing. So, amazing stuff. Business Insider also has a story. Wealthy Americans may get a tax cut 10 times bigger than a middle-class family in the Biden social spending bill. Why would that be a problem? Well, see, those are the people that feather the nests of the Democrat politicians. So rich Americans could come out much further ahead of middle-class families, you see, in President Biden's $1.75 trillion social spending bill. Congressional Democrats are trying to raise the total amount of state and local taxes that people can deduct from their overall tax bills, helping out hardcore Democrat states, left-wing states, known as the SALT cap. House legislation lifts the House legislation lifts it to $80,000 from its current $10,000. See, so you pay a lot. The more you make, the more you pay in taxes, and then the more Washington will give back to the rich in states like California and New York that tax the heck out of their people. But this skews toward the rich because now the burden falls disproportionately to middle class taxpayers in Democrat run states. Right. So there we have that. So all that stuff about how you're going to pay less. Not true. You're going to pay more. You're going to pay a little more the first year and then more again the second year. And as the years go on, you're going to pay more and more. And then there's inflation, of course, because of these policies and the devaluation of the currency, because of the increase in the amount of currency that's out there, devaluating the currency. And inflation, everything costs more. Gas prices, because of lame, insane, dunderhead energy policies, we all pay more. At the gas pump, we pay more to heat our homes. We pay more to heat grandma's home. And that's all part of the plan, because you may remember Barack Obama said under his plan of cap and trade, electricity costs would necessarily skyrocket. And that's already true now. You see, because Joe Biden is transforming. It's the fundamental transformation of America.
Under my plan of a cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
Now, they've backdoored this in a lot of ways. And also, you see, in Europe, the Ukrainians are threatening to cut off the flow of natural gas to Western Europe. And Russia is kind of the power behind the curtain on that. And that means Putin. And you may remember Biden gave the green light to the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline out of Russia to Germany to provide Western Europe, NATO nations, and they can switch it off in the middle of winter time. And Joe Biden helped, see, because he's a moron. And also, you know, his son got $3.5 million from the wife of the corrupt Moscow mayor. And they're feathering the nests of the Biden family, and the New York Times and CNN think that's fine. They think that's good. There's Hunter. He was the vice chairman of the board of Amtrak, too, because his father used to ride the train on Fridays. So naturally, his son became vice chairman of the board because, you know, his dad was a senator. You know that song, I Ain't No Senator's Son? See, he couldn't sing that song. He might have while on crack at parties with Russian hookers and gangsters while they were shaking him down. But everything's working out for Putin. Maybe not for Western Europe, Western civilization, the United States, for your grandma. But it's working out for the Biden family pretty well. Yeah, so New York Post, Dems just snuck a tax cut for the rich into Build Back Better. And this is not in the Washington Post, not in the New York Times. Not. Pretty amazing stuff. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, I want to get to the violent New Yorkers and all of that stuff. But listen to this, because the Democrats are making everything better. Also, I was reading the Washington Times has the story today on their front page, because they cover the news also. Homicide spikes from last year rise even higher. Some cities scramble to reverse police cuts. You know who's being disproportionately impacted by that? Homicides? People of color, POC, as Democrats like to say. That's who. Do you remember, I've talked about it, how it was just last year we learned that the 2020 homicide rates had increased by, it was the greatest increase in 100 years. Greatest one-year, year-to-year spike in homicides that the United States has seen in 100 years. And probably more. We've only been keeping records for 100 years. That's why they can only say 100 years. Criminal justice experts are warning that the rise in U.S. homicides in 2020, the biggest one-year increase in 100 years, it says 60 years here, but I looked it up this morning and they said 100 years, is continuing to rise this year. FBI statistics show that homicides jumped by nearly 30% last year compared with 2019, from 16,669 to 21,570. Disproportionately, more than 9,000 African Americans died of homicide last year, 13% of the population, about 50% of the homicides, a number greater than the total number of African Americans that died in the Vietnam War between 1959 and 1975 in 1 year. But pay no attention to that, because Black Lives Matter, right? So the Washington Times has that story, and the Washington Post doesn't. Also, I looked it up today because this is crazy, the story out of Seattle today. Seattle crime gives rise to security escorts for county employees amid new push to defund police. Sounds like a pretty good system they've got going here. Seattle City Council goes against voters who rejected progressive defund police candidates. But they don't care what the public thinks. They're the left, and they're in charge. They have power. They're going to abuse it. Seattle's downtown is now considered so dangerous. How dangerous is it? That King County employees, public sector employees, will be escorted by security guards to buses, trains, and ferries as part of a new program under a renewed bid to defund police. Private sector workers won't have such options. You see, the new initiative dubbed the Walking Bus Pilot Program, walking bus, that makes a lot of sense, it's a walking bus, was announced internally. It was a secret to King County employees on Wednesday, the same day the city council, seemingly going against the wishes of Seattle voters, rejection of defund the police movement, proposed a nearly $11 million cut to the police force. But they're getting private security for themselves. And we've seen in other left-wing jurisdictions, San Francisco, rich neighborhoods are hiring their own private security, like in Mexico City. And in Rio de Janeiro, and in places where the police are corrupt and the crime is so out of control that the rich hire their own police forces. I also, in researching this today, found another story from August 4th of 2021. An epicenter of violence in Seattle has gotten so bad the sheriff is telling employees to work from home. See, this is what the Democrats are doing. They're making things better. And you're a racist if you don't think this is great stuff. Probably a white supremacist, you know. And then the Democrats abort 40% of the black population and give out awards for it. Lucite blocks, small golden statuettes. They display them on their mantles at home. Hillary Clinton got one, a Margaret Sanger Award. Jane Fonda got one, Hanoi Jane. She's not on our side. Just amazing stuff. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Madonna is Madam X, a globe-trotting secret agent, and now you've got an up-close and personal front-row pass to her unforgettable performance. Madam X, a new concert experience, is now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Head to ParamountPlus.com to try it for free.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher than it is right now. Dollar losing value, and let's not forget about inflation, the highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008? So how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you and me, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. Real gold and silver. From the Oxford Gold Group, the kind you can actually hold in your hand or have in your IRA. There's no time better than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-707-GOLD. They'll send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-707-GOLD. Oxford is here to protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-707-GOLD.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet? Don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Madonna is Madam X, a globe-trotting secret agent, and now you've got an up-close and personal front-row pass to her unforgettable performance. Madam X, a new concert experience, is now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Head to ParamountPlus.com to try it for free.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I need to correct something that I said. It is the leader in Belarus that is threatening to cut off the flow of Russian natural gas to Western Europe. That's Lukashenko. And Putin and the Kremlin are like, hey, search me. He didn't ask us. Belarus leader floats idea of cutting gas to Europe. See, and that's about Joe Biden put Putin in a much better position. A few million dollars into the Biden family coffers goes a long way. So the Belarus leader Lukashenko threatens to cut Europe's gas supply. Winter is coming. Putin is in the catbird seat, they used to say, in part thanks to Joe Biden. Now, Ukraine, I had Ukraine on the brain. Because Putin is apparently moving troops closer to the Ukrainian border and tank divisions and tank units anyway. U.S. reportedly warns Europe of potential Ukraine invasion by Russia. Because there's a weak president in the United States, and when the U.S. is weak, I said it a couple of days ago, only the tyrants of the world need fear the wrath of the U.S. military. But if the tyrants of the world do not fear the wrath of the United States military, then the tyrants of the world have nothing to fear. And that's where we are now with Feckless Joe. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Carol calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Carol, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Carolyn. I'm sorry, Carolyn.
That's okay, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Thanks. I appreciate you taking my call. I actually met you a couple of times when I lived in D.C. at Politics and a Pint. But what I wanted to say was I've been following Hawk Newsom for a little bit when he appeared on Candace Owens. And believe it or not, he is not buying the Democrat BS. He posts all the time on his Instagram that they're scams and they're frauds. And, you know, he's got a decent following. So I just think it's not bad to look at, because maybe that will pick up a little bit of steam in the black community that, again, they're not buying these jokers. It's just BS. That's what I wanted to say.
Ah, well, that's good. We're going to play some audio for, you know, I used to live in Kansas City, too. I lived at 63rd and Rock Hill in KC Mo, and I liked Kansas City very much. It was the last place I lived before I moved to D.C.
Yeah, I actually moved out of D.C. because it was such a train wreck. I was there for 14 years, and I love your show, and like I said, I met you a couple times, but I had to get back to Midwest, and believe it or not, Democrats are here, too. You go downtown and there's just hipsters everywhere. It's like, ugh, making its way to the Midwest. But at least things are better here. So.
Yeah, definitely for now. Yeah, it's true. Well, the Democrat and their worldview is like, you know, it's like a sexually transmitted disease. Now it's like a sexually transmitted infection, right? They decided they like infection more than disease. That's now it's a STI instead of STD. Yeah, but the infection that is leftism. Is making its way everywhere, seeping into every crevice and every corner. Well, we've got Hawk Newsom coming up, Black Lives Matter New York. Wait till you hear what he thinks is a good idea.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.